Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show podcast. 402, welcome in. It is a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and it promises to be a good one. 319-366-1600 is the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Mondays on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. They've been Eastern Iowa's flooring leader for over 40 years, local flooring experts by design. You can check them out online at randysflooring.com or at one of their two corridor showrooms here in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. We're going to be talking Cubs baseball with Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune coming up in the 5 o'clock hour tonight. He will be with us at 5:02 on the dot. More to come, a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road on the line tonight. Keep listening for your chance to win. We'll get you ready for the Bears and Washington. Monday Night Football, Chicago, a 5-point favorite at the moment in Riverside. But is the Iowa State football series really in jeopardy? 319-366-1600. Alex? Bruce Harreld made I get it. I know that people are tired of hearing about this. People have been having fun with me on Twitter all day, at Todd Brommelkamp, at KGYM Radio, at Alex Kuhn 523. Oh boy, 9 days after Iowa and Iowa State played a football game. And we're still talking about the Cy-Hawk game, and not for any reason that either fan base would like. Iowa State, by the way, very impressive, its victory over Louisiana Monroe this past weekend. We'll get to John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Cyclones, coming up at 4:30 on the dot, coming up bottom of the hour. Bruce Harreld, the president of the University of Iowa, gave an interview, a sit-down interview with the Daily Iowan. This is something that University of Iowa presidents have long done. The University of Iowa's paper of record, the Daily Iowan, student publication. I myself am an alum, worked there from 1999 to 2003. Going back, Mary Sue Coleman, Dr. Scorton. Some presidents have welcomed these sit-downs. Others have not necessarily been huge fans. Sally Mason. Bruce Harreld said some very interesting things during this interview, which was published today by the Daily Iowan. And you can read the story on the Daily Iowan's website, dailyiowan.com. And they have given us permission to air this clip, which has a lot of people buzzing today on both sides of the Cy-Hawk rivalry. I went back and forth, and I wanted to try to edit this down from, it's almost a 2-minute clip. And I felt by editing it in any way, it would maybe muddy the waters here. So I just want Bruce Harreld's words to stand on his own here. And again, this is airing with the permission of the good folks at the Daily Iowan and DITV, and I thank them for allowing us the clearance to play this. And you can get more information. You can read the whole interview with President Harreld at the Daily Iowan's website. But this clip here, this is what people are talking about today.
I'm not convinced at all that we should play this game again, here or there or anywhere, unless we can protect our fans, our band, and of course our athletes. And so I've reached out to President Winterstein, as well as President Nook at UNI, because we don't ever, I believe, ever play in their venue, but they play in our venues. And I think all three of us need to sit down and have a series of conversations with our athletic directors, with our band directors, with our campus security and safety people, and say, how do we protect, how do we ensure that something like what happened last weekend, 8 days ago, doesn't happen again. And I think we need to put it on paper. How large should our security forces be? Where should the band bus park? What tunnel should we have a secure group of people, of officers and security people protecting them? And then the same end of the stand. I think there's a lot to document here, and I think we need to have a series of conversations. And when we get there, if we get there, then I think we can start, I'll consider playing this game again. But I'm not going to put our students or our band or our athletes in harm's way. Something happened, and it isn't right. And we all can do better. And I'm not just talking about in Ames. I'm talking about in Iowa City, too. So it works both ways. We can all improve, and we should take this opportunity to improve from it. I'm a little frustrated right now that this happened not in Iowa City, not in Kinnick. It happened in another stadium, and all of a sudden now it's like victim blaming. All of a sudden now University of Iowa is part of the issue because we start or stopped investigation. Please, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to get through it all, and then we're going to learn from it and move forward. And if it means that we're not going to play again, then we're not going to play again.
What do you make of what Bruce Harrell just said there? 319-366-1600. There are a couple instances. There are two or three instances in that two-minute clip where he's talking about not playing again. And in no uncertain terms. And there didn't seem to be a whole lot of wiggle room there. Right?
No. In fact, he basically at this point made it sound like they weren't going to do it unless things change right now. So maybe I'm reading too much between the lines. I don't think I am. These were his words. He kept saying, if we play again, as if the series is somehow canceled as of right now. It's not, but that's what I don't know what to make of that statement.
This all stems back to the allegations that there was an incidents plural, involving the Hawkeye Marching Band and fans two Saturdays ago in Ames. No police reports, no mention of anything with the law at the time, no complaints filed directly to Iowa State, to my knowledge, at the time. And it turns out that Iowa and Iowa State were having a dialogue about this. A statement gets put out last Monday by Gary Barta, Iowa's athletic director, kind of clues everybody into, hey, something happened. Again, not to draw the Fran McCaffrey-Gary Dolphin parallel here, but again, most of the world was blissfully unaware that there was an issue or issues. And the allegations are, they run the course from females being groped to somebody has broken ribs over being shoved down, allegations of beer bottles being thrown. There's a photo out there of a Hawkeye Marching Band member that has a pretty big bruise on his arm that CBS2 disseminated last week. You've got a public relations nightmare on your hands. And the usual meat shield, to borrow a term from Gary Barta, from Dan Lebatard, is Gary Barta. Barta usually steps in front of the bullets, and in this instance, he kind of blew things to the point where this got to Bruce Harrell to have to clean up. And the budding bromance between Gary Barta and Bruce Harrell has been on full display for a long time here, but this could possibly jeopardize that relationship, the fact that Bruce Harrell actually has to deal with cleaning up a mess here and getting his own hands dirty. But again, he's using some pretty loaded language there in that clip with the folks from the Daily Iowan about not playing this series, dropping this series, and whether or not, I think it would cost $1 million or something like that to get out of this series, and it would cause a ton of logistical headaches for Iowa and Iowa State because they'd have to fill holes on the schedule. I don't think it's going to happen, but it could, right? And so that's what has people. You get to the point where the president of one of the universities is saying, "Until we get this figured, we don't need to play this game." That to me is troublesome here, because up until then, up until you hear Bruce Harreld, you're kind of like, eh, nah, that's a pipe dream. This thing's not going away. And again, I still don't think that it is, but I'm just one guy with an opinion and a microphone. Bruce Harreld there talking in no uncertain terms about kind of everything is on the table. And what's really troublesome to me in hearing that minute 50 clip or so is that they don't have those logistics figured out ahead of time. Like,
yeah, why is the band having to walk across fields through tailgater lots to get to their bus?
Like, my wife is
that's the question.
My wife is a fantastic event planner. She is the most detail-oriented person that I know. And if you presented her the facts of this situation, she would be scratching her head. Well, why didn't people ask this question ahead of time or that question? And again, it goes back to we heard last year in Iowa City that the Iowa State band had to march a mile to its buses. You've got the football team. The bus is right there at Jack Trice Stadium. They come out the back. They get on the bus. They leave. Does not appear that that's the case for the band members. And again, having been through this 2 weeks ago at Jack Trice Stadium, there's only so many ways in and out. And there's no protocol in place to say, okay, the band, you guys maybe get the post-game meal and consume it here. And I understand that the conditions were not ideal to remain outdoors, but we're going to hold you guys here for 30 minutes. I know it was a long day and two lightning delays, 3 extra hours. We're going to be getting back to Iowa City on the bus, you know, after midnight or whatever. But for your own safety, we're going to keep you here 30 minutes. We're going to clear the stadium. And even then, I guess maybe that doesn't solve all your issues. But to just say, okay, game's over, and start marching out, and you get fans that are upset that the band is doing what a marching band does, which is marching and staying in formation as it heads out of the stadium. I don't know. There's a lot to unpack there from just 2 minutes of Bruce Harreld discussing having to talk with President Winterstein and bringing you and I into the conversation, which, quite frankly, I don't think that you and I needs to have a seat at the table on this one, because this certainly sounds like an Iowa State issue.
It does. Looking at the logistics of this is one thing, but looking at how we arrived here is a completely different thing. And the timeline you share, I had to chuckle during Love It or Leave It on Friday when you brought up the timeline of everything that had happened up to this point. So let's refresh. The vague statement last Monday, the joint statement between Gary Barta and Jamie Pollard on Wednesday where they were closing the investigation. Then the members of the band post on Facebook on Friday. Hours later, they're reopening the investigation. And now on Monday after the game, the president of the University of Iowa threatens to cancel the series. How did we get here? This is just a 2019 episode of taking things too far, is what it feels like.
Again, the big story here is that this got all the way to the university president to have to deal with.
Yeah.
He's trying to clean up the mess where normally, again, Dan Le Batard's human meat shield comes into play here. The reason that Gary Barta gets paid $1 million a year is that he throws himself in front of a lot of flack. Some of it self-generated, let's be honest here, but he tends to keep Bruce Harreld out of the picture. And now you've got Bruce Harreld that's sitting down here, and he's got to be rolling his eyes going, look, I'm the president of the university. The last thing that I need to do is my own public relations work, where I got to sit down here and try to put a spin on this. And you got Iowa fans who are upset because they don't think we're holding Iowa State as a institution to the same higher standards. I said last Friday that the adults need to prevail here. And I still say that that's the case. What needs to happen is the series needs to kick off at 11 o'clock every year. And because TV dictates the start times, there's no guarantee that Iowa and Iowa State could sit down and come up with a plan that says, okay, here's how we solve things moving forward. this is logistically taken care of, this is taken care of, and we kick off at 11 a.m. so that people have less time to drink. Because Fox or the BTN or ESPN can come in and say, we've got a 6 o'clock TV window, or we've got a 3 o'clock TV window, and we want that prime real estate. And schools can't say no because they're bought and paid for by the TV networks. But the easiest solution here to at least curb issues moving forward to me is to lessen the amount of time that people have to guzzle Grain Belt and natural light and God knows what else in the parking lots before they go into the stadium. And yeah, this was the perfect storm a couple weeks ago, literally and figuratively, because it bought everybody 3 hours of extended idiocy. I'm not saying tailgating is bad. I enjoy having a couple drinks before going into sporting events, to each their own. But you always get that handful of people who take things too far. And in this instance, where you already have heightened issues because of the rivalry, those people, the handful of people, and we are talking about a minority here, but they're on the verge of ruining it for everybody. 319-366-1600. We would love to hear from you today on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can also pick up the phone and give us a call. This is something that I know people feel very passionately about. But until you hear the president of one of the two universities involved saying, until this is also, we don't need to play the game. I mean, he's very, very distinct in how he's addressing the Daily Iowan reporter.
Yeah, it was very calculated.
I'll just play the very beginning. He hits right off the bat. He comes out of the gate swinging.
I'm not convinced at all that we should play this game again. Here or there.
I'm not convinced at all that we should play this game again. There's not much to parse there. And if this is some sort of three-dimensional chess game where Iowa is trying to get out of the series, nothing good can come of this. And I said earlier today on Twitter that this is a flawed marriage. This is a marriage where mom and dad, maybe they do need to get divorced. And you've even got the kids in this instance, some of the fans and some of the media saying, man, divorce may not be a bad thing here, or at least a separation. Somebody go live in an extended stay hotel for a while and come see the kids on the weekends and birthday parties and stuff like that. I'm not to that point yet. I don't want to see this series go away because I'm smart enough to know that Iowa and Iowa State cannot do better than each other on their non-conference schedules every year. You get three non-conference games. You really think that some marquee opponent is going to come along for Iowa and Iowa State yearly? That Nebraska is going to say, hey, we want to relive the old Big 12 days. Let's play a home-and-home with Iowa State every year. And you think Missouri or Texas A&M or Arkansas is going to come to Iowa and say, yeah, we'll play a home-and-home every year? No, these two schools cannot do better than each other.
Well, yeah.
And they need to realize it.
And the other thing you need to realize is, why are you contemplating canceling this series? Because of the scumbags that drink too much at tailgating? That's why? That's your reasoning. You're going to let the people that ruin it for everybody, the 5%, ruin an entire college football series between two in-state rivals? That right there rings really hollow to me.
I'm looking, we could probably do an entire hour here, spend the next 40 minutes reading the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We do have John Walters coming up at 4:30. Let's get to the phone lines. 319-366-1600. Michael in Cedar Rapids wants to weigh in. Michael, how are you feeling on this?
Well, I don't think they should cancel it either. I think you both make fantastic points. It's going to be really hard to find a better matchup with another Power 5 conference for each school. And, yeah, don't let the scumbags win. That's stupid. I think the most obvious thing, probably maybe the easiest fix, is don't take the marching band on the away game. Like, I get a lot of those kids are from Iowa and they want to be part of it. But logistically, you look at those pictures and five police officers can't protect all those kids. They can't see everything that happens. And I know this happened at Iowa State and it was the Iowa marching band, but this goes both ways. I mean, people have come out of the woodwork going back, I don't know, a couple decades that this has happened to Iowa State kids when they're down at Iowa too. So it might just be coming to a head now, but this goes both ways. There's scumbags on both sides. And so how do you keep a really good thing for both football programs, but protect the kids from the scumbags? And I think it's, you don't take the marching band and march them into a sea of angry hate fans, because somebody's always going to lose the game and you just always run that risk of a few scumbags. And to be honest, like you say, you can't control the television. And to be honest, the later they play in the day, the better it is for the good fans and the better it is for the programs, because they get a national audience. I mean, if Iowa State goes and they make the Big 12 championship game and Iowa makes the Big 10 championship game and next year they're highly ranked, you want a 7 o'clock kick. You want, you know, two teams ranked in the top 10 from Iowa playing big time. So I think don't take the band and you'll protect the kids from the scumbags.
Michael, the text line wants you to say scumbags one more time. Can you oblige them, please?
Scumbags. Well, I could do douchebags, but
okay.
I think that's
okay. Yeah, well, no, scumbags. Now, that's not a that's not a droppable. That was the end of the phone call.
Just
though.
Just making sure.
Craig in Cedar Rapids. The text line's lighting up right now. They really enjoy the use of the term scumbags. We probably should use it more often on this program. Craig in Cedar Rapids. What's up, Craig?
Hi. I worked as a crowd management supervisor in Kinnick Stadium for 15 years, and my area of responsibility was the student section. There were Hawkeye rivalry games where you had fans from both teams, as you say, a few, and I do mean a few, that caused disturbances. But for the most part, the fans on both sides were well-behaved, and I don't think the games should be canceled. I agree with you. For just a few scumbags.
Yes.
Craig, we appreciate the phone call. 366-1600. It's going to be worked into the everyday vocabulary of the program now moving forward.
The problem with the part about not bringing the band is I don't think that the band is necessarily the only thing that we need to be focused on. Because I think that there, say the band doesn't go, are we still talking about this if a student or there are still disturbances with between fan bases and between students of the two schools? I think that the band issue right now is a symptom of the problem and not the problem itself, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I love college football. I like college football way more than I do the NFL at this point. I think college football is a better product. It's only slightly less commercialized.
Only slightly.
I love college football, and part of that is everything that goes into the pomp and circumstance of a game, and a lot of that with Iowa and Iowa State. I think it's fantastic that the bands are involved. And again, I think you have an overwhelming majority of people that understand that this is a neat moment for the state of Iowa, whether you're flying. We have new neighbors that just moved in catty corner to us, and they've got a house divided flag. It was the first thing that I noticed about them. Half Iowa, half Iowa State. And there's a lot of those households across the state, and this rivalry, in particular the football game, lesser extent basketball, wrestling, softball, swimming and diving, whatever, but the football game, this is something that I think is great for the state of Iowa. I don't want to see it go away. And again, I'm smart enough to realize that if it does go away, it's not Alabama that's replacing Iowa State on the schedule. It's not a game that's going to get people to embrace buying season tickets. You cannot do better than Iowa State. And you cannot do better than Iowa if you were in the other school's shoes, especially when both teams are playing well.
Right, and that's the thing.
Which
where,
never happens, but it's happening now,
yeah,
which is
exactly.
great, which is fantastic. And this is the moment in time where the rivalry is in jeopardy. Not in 15 years from 83 to 97 when Iowa was winning every single year. This now that both programs are playing really good football, this is the time where all of a sudden there's talk of putting the series on hiatus or not playing it anymore. Come on. We're better. We're all better than that. And the best story in this whole thing is that Carson King, the young man who just tried to get some free money in his Venmo for a rack of Busch Light, now has raised over $1 million for the University of Iowa Children's Hospital and will be in attendance on Saturday for the Middle Tennessee State game. Some Iowa fans gave up their suite tickets so that he can come to the game and wave to the kids at the end of the first quarter, which I think is fantastic. But that sort of takes a back seat here to all of the stupidity that has gone on here in the last... Again, this game was played how many days ago? Well, we're 2 weeks removed football in football parlance from that game being played, and we're still talking about it. 428, again, stick with us. I'll tell you what, your reward for listening to John Walters today is going to be coming up at 450 tonight. We will give you a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Simple as that. Stick with us for the next 20 minutes, and somebody's going to win a chance to join us at next Thursday's KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. A $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on the way for you at 4:50. Kyle has joined us in the studio. Our producer, Kyle Mann, ready with a big board update. Three times a day on the program, we bring you big board updates, keep you up to speed on what's going on the sports scene. Brought to you by Alexander Lumber. You can visit them in Iowa City on 420th Street, not too far away from the Sinclair Station, or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It was a game for the record books for Brock Purdy and the Cyclones on Saturday as they piled up over 700 yards of total offense in a 72-20 demolition of Louisiana Monroe. Purdy stole the show by being responsible for as many touchdowns as he threw in completions, going 21-27 for 435 yards and three touchdowns in the air, as well as 75 more yards and three more scores on the ground. The team's 714 yards and Purdy's 510 individually are both school records, and he became the first player in Big 12 history with 400 yards passing, three passing touchdowns, and three rushing touchdowns, so he was named this week's Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week. All that said, the Cyclones find themselves just outside of this week's AP Top 25. Meanwhile, the Hawkeyes have moved up to number 14. And there's been a story that just won't go away since the two teams met a couple weeks ago. And Iowa President Bruce Harrell didn't do anything to help when he spoke with the Daily Iowan, suggesting that the Cy-Hawk series may be discontinued if measures can't be taken to ensure that whatever happened doesn't happen again. He also likened the response to Iowa's handling of the situation to victim blaming. UNI had to fight for a close one hosting Idaho State over the weekend, winning 13-6. They trailed 6-3 at halftime and into the fourth, but scored 10 unanswered to get the victory. They moved to 2-1 and traveled to Weber State this weekend. Tonight after the show, we'll have John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on 1600 AM, the main gym, as well as David Montgomery and the Chicago Bears facing the football team from Washington on Monday Night Football. That'll be on the North and South Gym FM frequencies.
Bears, I believe, the last time that I looked, 5-point favorite over Washington, the over-under, 40.5 points. I think it opened at 42, and it is coming down. They're expecting, I think, some wind this evening inside. Is it FedEx Field?
Yes.
Washington plays that. I always want to say RFK, but I know that's not correct. 319-366-1600. Again, coming up at 4:50 tonight, your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub. 5:02 tonight, we'll chat Cubs baseball with Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune, and we will eventually get around to reading many of your texts on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line as well. 319-366-1600. 432, John Walters is on the way after this.
Come here. Get the boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day ever. Member FDIC.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food. Stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue. Cedar Rapids.
When you fire up a John Deere 1 Series tractor, you can tackle the job without wrestling the attachments. Hook up everything from a front loader to a drive-over mower deck to a backhoe without wasting any time at all. So you can haul gravel, till soil, cut grass, or do any job in between. Because when things just click, work just gets done. Nothing runs like a Deere. Run with us. Get your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or find them online at citytractor.com.
That was an awesome game.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
You okay, Coach?
Me? Yeah, sure.
Hey, you remember how I didn't play last year?
Yeah, we missed you.
Well, I didn't care about the game then. Didn't care about anything, really. Couldn't sleep, didn't eat much.
I know what that's like.
But this year's better. IowaCrisisChat.org made a big difference. Good listeners, you know?
That's really great.
Yeah, IowaCrisisChat.org. They can help anybody. Even coaches.
Thanks, kid.
This message from Community Crisis Services and Food Bank.
Hear that? You're knocking on the front door of the new home you want to own. You might be close to making this big purchase, but just need a little help to get in the door. That's where the team of mortgage experts at Midwest One Bank can help. We support you so that you feel comfortable and empowered from open house to closing day. Simply put, we'll help you find your way home. It's empowered home ownership. It's Midwest One Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
4:35, welcome back in a Monday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Randy's Flooring. You can check him out online, randysflooring.com. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune joining us at 5:02 tonight. We'll look back on the disastrous weekend that was for the Cubs, as things could not have gone any worse for them, losing all four games to the Cardinals and watching their entire season blow up before their eyes like Wile E. Coyote. And so much Acme Dynamite. No, I'm not over it yet. I'm not over it yet. We'll get to that and more. Congratulations to the St. Louis Cardinals, your National League Central champions this season. Plenty more coverage on them to come as well. We'll get back to Bruce Harreld's comments coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well and get you ready for Monday Night Football as the Bears take on the Redskins, and we've got a big Bears fan on the line with us right now. John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, ready to look forward to Baylor, look back on Louisiana Monroe. But, John, I've got to start today with the latest comments from Bruce Harreld, the University of Iowa president, about the Iowa-Iowa State series being in jeopardy. This is not something that's good, right, to be talking about this series being either on hiatus or discontinued altogether. Back me up on this. This series is good for the state of Iowa. It cannot go away.
Well, I haven't had a chance to read President Harreld's comments at all. I would hate to see the series go away. I love the attention it brings to our state. I love the spotlight that it puts on college football and the passion that fans have in the state for college football. I don't know that there's a bigger sporting event in our state. And when I say that, let me clarify, I'm not saying that this is the biggest game for either team. It's not. But it's the biggest sporting event in our state, because name me another sporting event where, you know, 70-80% of the people in the state are paying attention to what's happening on that field that day. There just isn't one. And so, for all those positives, I'd love to see it continue, but I totally understand that safety has to come first, and let's make sure that's a priority, and I couldn't agree with that more. So we'll see where it goes, but I'm very hopeful that the Iowa Corn Cyhawk series and the Iowa Corn Cyhawk football game is something that's here to stay.
John, let's get to the game last week. Iowa State, 72 points. Brock Purdy, 436 yards passing and three touchdowns. And Matt Campbell called it the first complete performance of the season. How nice was it to see the Cyclones perform that way at Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday?
That was really good. You know, the first couple possessions obviously didn't go as you would hope. A little miscommunication on both those, and a couple turnovers, and you know, it didn't, but the great thing was the defense didn't allow a point. Louisiana Monroe took it over in Iowa State territory twice, once at the 10-yard line, and didn't get a point out of it. And so the defense rose up and did its job, and then I think Brock Purdy and that offense just had a sense of, okay, it's our turn to do our part, and boy, did they. You know, scoring on, 11 consecutive possessions, and then throw in a pick six as well. Basically never punting. They didn't punt the entire game. And then the only other time that they didn't score was when they took a knee at the end of the game. So really started hitting on all cylinders, some big plays in the passing game, which is fun to see. I know there was a lot of question, can there be a big playmaker in that offense to make big plays down the field like Akeem Butler did a year ago? I think we're starting to see that is present. With Tariq Milton, Deshaunte Jones, and some of these other players. And Brock Purdy really likes throwing the ball down the field, and he is throwing the ball with incredible accuracy. And so a lot of good things came out of that game, and certainly a point to build on going forward, because it's going to get a whole lot tougher this week down in Waco, so you got to be really ready for a battle this week.
John Walters with us, sponsored weekly by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. How important was it from that aspect heading into Big 12 play to get a major confidence booster before heading on the road?
I think confidence was big, but I also think just seeing a lot of guys get the opportunity to play and then go out there and play well, that was huge. You know, I mean, for Real Mitchell to get his first snaps as a quarterback at Iowa State and perform the way he did was enormous. You know, for Sean Shaw, who basically moved up into the depth chart, you know, during the course of the week with really good practices, to get a big, big opportunity to play and score touchdowns on his first two catches was a really good deal. He's got a promising future ahead of him. I'm really excited about him. But a lot of guys, you know, I mean, Jake Hummel with his pick six, seeing DJ Miller out there recovering a fumble, getting to play as a true freshman, and there were just a lot of guys out there, and that does a lot for team morale. I mean, the starters love it when those guys that don't get a lot of playing time get out there and do great things, and I just think it uplifts the entire locker room. So, you know, coming off a tough loss the week before, I think that's something that was a shot in the arm for this entire program and can really carry them forward going into conference play. But they know what they're in for. They know how tough conference is going to be. And, you know, Baylor team that's playing, I think, upper division, Big 12 football right now, is going to be a real good test on the road in week one.
I think so many people got used to seeing Iowa State's offense with an Allen Lazard or a Hakeem Butler, the big targets at wide receiver. And people were wondering, okay, well, who's going to be that guy this year? LaMichael Petway's been good, but how sort of interesting is it to see this offense with a couple of really big play guys who keep making big plays, and Tariq Milton and Deshaunte Jones, who are completely different styles of wide receivers than those two?
Yeah, and I love the fact that those two guys are on the field all the time now, because they were sharing the position a year ago, and they're both really good players. But you want your best players on the field, and so to find a way to get them both out there moves Tariq Milton outside, where his speed can really create some big plays down the field. He has fit in very well at that spot, and you know, it allows DeShante to stay in that M position, which is really valuable on stuff across the middle and underneath stuff. But he stretched a few of those into big plays as well. And Landon Akers gets his opportunities in there at that M position as well. And you know, we're seeing Sean Shaw and what he's doing. Michael Petway's played very, very well. I think that receiver room, you know, which was maybe a question mark coming into the season, you know, Matt Campbell even said it before the Louisiana Monroe game that room has been a pleasant surprise and just how far they've come and how quickly they've come. So it's a pretty good group. And, you know, it obviously helps to have a quarterback that controls the ball with great accuracy. If you look at what Brock's doing right now, it's just absolutely amazing. And I think, you know, he is seeing the game. Tom Manning, when he came back from the Indianapolis Colts, talked a lot about accelerated vision. How that can help Brock this year. And as a sophomore, to have that accelerated vision, and it's kind of an oxymoron because accelerated vision means the game's slowing down for you, so the acceleration slows it down. But, you know, seeing so many things before the snap, I think that's what's happening with Brock. He's seeing so many things before the snap and digesting them and understanding them in those 7-8 seconds that you have, that he's making the right read just about every single time and making the right throw. And he's a very, very accurate thrower. The throw he made to Petway along the sideline, where Petway, you know, right over a defender. I mean, you couldn't have placed that ball any better, and Petway made a great catch, but that's the only place that ball could have been thrown where it's a completion, and he threw it right on a dime to that spot. And so he's doing some remarkable stuff, and it's really, really fun to watch right now.
You brought up Riel Mitchell. I know Coach Campbell was asked about him on the Big 12 teleconference earlier today. Do you see Matt continuing to figure out ways to get him involved, kind of like those packages that they would put in for Joel Lanning?
I think that's the most likely scenario to start with. I mean, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you got to get him on the field. You got to have, is he your best running back in your program right now? Can you make him a running back? Can you get him out there at that position? He's too valuable right now as a number two quarterback. I mean, it's been since Brett Meyer that Iowa State went through an entire season with one quarterback playing the position. And so, you know, you're going to need Real through the course of time at some point to get in there. And I love the idea of giving Brock a break now and then, bringing Real in there and running some packages for him like they did with Joel Lanning. I think that's a great solution to make sure that Real is continuing to get meaningful snaps in games, maybe even more meaningful than what he got last week. You know, if he's coming in the second quarter against Baylor and running a series, you know, that's more pressure than what he faced a week ago. So I think that would be a really good way to get Real in there some. Obviously, you don't want to take Brock out of the game too often. I mean, the guy is playing at an elite level. You want him to be your quarterback. But getting Real some meaningful snaps, I think, is a good thing. And then over time, you know, you make those decisions going forward. If he's just so valuable that you have to have him out there all the time, well then, okay, do you turn him into a receiver or running back somewhere down the line? I don't think those are things that the staff's even thinking about today. So, you know, make use of him as a quarterback. I think that's a great plan.
What is it like for this defense, who we knew coming in there's depth at pretty much every position, and the up front, especially in the front seven, they're loaded. To have a guy that we weren't even really talking to and talking about, I should say, in Orion Vance making play after play and showing up pretty much every week for this team.
Yeah, he's been terrific. And I think the staff could really see it coming in camp because he had a great spring, had a really, really good fall camp. And they just felt like he was coming on, you know, and they knew when they recruited him that he could be a really good player. But sometimes it takes a little while, especially at linebacker with all the responsibilities of the Mike linebacker. There's a lot going on there. And I think he started figuring some stuff out and understanding what his role was and playing it very, very well. And the other part of the equation had to be you had to have another guy that could go out and play in space. And Mike Rose continues to amaze me with what he does with his ability, no matter where they put him, to make big plays. And he looks great out there in space making plays, 240 pounds, and it's just a terrific outside linebacker right now. So that group with Marcel Spears, I don't know that there's a better group of linebackers in the Big 12 than what Iowa State has, you know, with those three. And as you mentioned, the depth behind them is good. And so they're all out there making plays. Spears has had an excellent season so far. So has Vance. Vance has been tremendous. and Rose is really doing well in his new spot. So I really like that linebacker group and what it's bringing to this defense.
John Walters with us. You can hear him tonight on 1600 AM, the Cyclone Sideline Show. More on that coming up in just a little bit. What do we know about what to expect from the Baylor Bears this weekend? Matt was asked about them earlier today on the conference call. He sees some similarities between these two programs.
Well, I think so. I mean, they're both basically process-oriented. You know, Matt Rule came in with a focus on, you know, defense and running the football and a good quarterback that they really can build their offense around. I think Brewer is an outstanding quarterback. I'm very, very impressed with him. Very, very accurate thrower and also can put it away and run. Really a lot like Brock Purdy. The two are very, very similar quarterbacks. And so I think that's going to be an interesting game within the game, which quarterback can be better this weekend. But I love the receiver group. Denzel Mims is just having a tremendous season. He's got long arms, great athleticism, and just can go get a jump ball anytime, you know. And so he's a real threat. They're going to have to figure out a way to slow him down. But they've got other guys with great, great speed out there on the perimeter as well. And then their defense, they've shifted to playing, I guess, pretty much identical defense to what Iowa State has done the last few years. They've gone to that 3-3-5, and they seem to like the results they're getting with that. They've got some real good interior defensive linemen, good defensive linemen, period. And a tremendous linebacker in Clay Johnson who comes up and hits as hard as anybody in the league. So he's their Mike linebacker and a really good one. So they're good up the middle. I mean, I think that's the thing where, if you look at Iowa State, why has their defense been so good the last couple of years? You know, with Ray Lima inside and Jamal Johnson and the Mike linebackers that we've just been talking about, and then Greg Eisworth, Iowa State's defense has been really good up the middle. And that's what Baylor's defense is, too. So I think this will be an intriguing matchup. I think Baylor, you can make a case that they're third, fourth best team in the Big 12 right now. And I don't think anybody could argue that. These are two good teams that are both trying to chase down the Oklahomas and Texases of the world, and this is going to be a heck of a matchup to start Big 12 play.
John, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask. You mentioned Rial Mitchell getting his first snaps. What were your first impressions of Jirel Brock, who got his first carries, and what do you think we'll see from him the rest of this season?
Really excited about that. You know, he ran the ball hard, you know, obviously it was late in the game, and Louisiana Monroe's probably were pretty well spent defensively at that point, so I don't want to jump to huge conclusions out of that for anybody, but I thought he and Hall really did a good job running the football at the end of that game. And it's so exciting to think about the future at that position with those two guys, and I don't know what they'll do yet with Jirel Brock. I don't know if they'll decide to just play him in four games and that's that, you know, but that experience that he got the other day was huge. And you know, if he emerges and he's the guy, then he'll see the field and then he won't redshirt. But if they're able to get enough production out of that position, and I don't know what their plans are. I haven't asked Matt about that, but just based on the fact that he didn't play until this past game, my guess would be they're trying to play him in four. But that opportunity that he got, that he made the most of last Saturday, was, I think, huge for his development. I love that rule. I think that's one of the great changes in college football in recent years, and I think a lot of guys are going to really benefit from that over the course of their careers.
John, we mentioned the Sideline Show coming up from the Applebee's in Ames. I got to be really careful about this. Last week I mentioned Applebee's in Ames. My wife was picking my son up from daycare, and he thought he was going to Applebee's for dinner on Monday night, so that got me in a little bit of trouble, man, with him when I got home. But I think I saw this already today. You've got the most popular man in Iowa joining you tonight, right? Carson King?
Yeah, we have the two most popular men in Iowa. Matt Campbell and Carson King are both going to be on. Yeah, Carson, he sent me a direct message during the game on Saturday. He just said, hey, I'm listening to the game out in New York, enjoying it. I sent one back, said, man, that's awesome. Appreciate what you're doing. And we started communicating, and I said, hey, do you want to come on the show? And he's going to do it tonight. So we're going to have Christy Johnson Lynch on at the beginning of the show. She's really doing well right now. Her team's won seven in a row, playing great, great volleyball right now. So we'll have her on at the beginning. Carson's going to come in about 10 after 7, along with Matt Campbell. Matt doesn't know this yet, but I'll put the two of them on there together, and we'll just talk a little bit about what Carson's been doing and how neat that is for our state. And so I'm excited about that. And then Matt'll be there the rest of the show. We got Jack Whitford co-hosting tonight. So it'll be a fun night at, I won't say the name, but a restaurant in Ames.
John, we appreciate it as always. And safe travels to Waco this week. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
John's appearance, sponsored by Craig Adamson, a True Wealth Stewardship partner. And that is such a fantastic story. They're up over $1 million now, pledged in donations. Carson King, for those of you who are unaware, is the young man who had the sign at College Game Day during the Iowa State game asking for Bush Light money on Venmo. He got a couple $1,000 and decided at that point that he was going to donate that money to the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. And once that got picked up by folks, it took on a life of its own. Venmo and Bush Light got involved and said they would match donations. And now I haven't seen the most recent total, but I know that when you throw the matches in there, it's now up over $1 million. And I'm sure Carson will hit on that. And again, he will be in attendance, my understanding, this weekend for Iowa's game against Middle Tennessee State. Some Hawkeye fans gave him the opportunity to attend this week's game and wave to the Children's Hospital after the end of the first quarter. So you got to love John. Not only did he get the corporate sponsor in for the Cyhawks series when we were talking about Bruce Harreld's comments earlier today, but he also made sure that he threw Matt Campbell in there as the second most popular guy
I noticed
in the state
that as
of
well.
Iowa. John's a consummate professional. We didn't even get a chance to ask him his thoughts on the Bears game tonight. Chicago, a pretty heavy favorite. A lot of people feeling that this will be a get-right game for Mitch Trubisky in particular. And we'll get to that coming up.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We'll talk Bears and Skins coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. 319-366-1600. Right now, we need to take a quick timeout, but before we do, I promised if you stuck around with us for 20 minutes, I'd reward you. A $30 gift card to Mulligan's is yours for being caller number 6 right now, 319-366-1600. Mulligan's on Old Marion Road, site of next Thursday's KGYM road trip, driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Join us, won't you? Especially if you've got $30 just burning a hole in your wallet or purse. We'll find out who our winner is when we return after this.
Coach Matt Campbell talks a lot about trusting the process. I've been saying the same thing about financial planning for nearly 25 years. At True Wealth Stewardship, we have a process to create meaningful, workable financial plans for people just like you. Our clients trust the process. Shouldn't you? Visit TrueWealthStewardship.com to learn more.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial planning offered through True Wealth Stewardship, a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL Financial.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Starting route now. Turn right at Fortress Mountain. Turn left at Mount Hood. Head south to Moab, Utah. Continue on the Great North American Test Drive.
Run with us on a John Deere Gator XUV 835. With our quietest cab ever and optional heat and AC, and a four-wheel independent suspension, it's built to run where no one else can. Nothing runs like a Deere. Search John Deere Gator for more.
Welcome back to Sports View. Today's topic, game changers. Makes me think of Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Finally, a simple, efficient way to quote home insurance. Let's go to Colin, who will now try to say something.
Okay, first of all, are you kidding? Never in my life. Okay, when you see stuff like this, look, I'm not the only one who thinks this, although everybody says I am.
Well said, Colin. Well said.
Get right to the point with Home Quote Explorer. It's a game changer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
cooler weather is around the corner, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. It could be something serious or maybe something simple. So knowing the likely issue can save you a lot of time and money down the road. And if you need help from a repair shop, we know some of the best. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com. Restrictions and details apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
4:58. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you on Mondays by Randy's Flooring. You can check them out here in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Sam Kinsley, one of our associate producers, former associate producers in the past, reaching out on the text line saying Hertin and Stocker Jewelers is getting their bang for their buck today. We do have a lot of texts to get to, and we will get to those coming up at 5:30 today as we will revisit Bruce Harold's comments about the Iowa-Iowa State series and whether or not it's just saber-rattling at this point, which I do believe to be the case, or whether or not there's any merit to one side, the side being Iowa, exploring, killing, for lack of a better term, the football rivalry between Iowa and Iowa State, whether temporarily or permanently. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. By the way, congratulations to Chris in Cedar Rapids, the winner tonight of a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We got a poll question for you today at kgymradio.com. Again, I want to make sure that the verbiage is correct here, even though I'm the one who authored it. Are you concerned about the future of the Cy-Hawk football rivalry, given Bruce Harold's commentary today? You can vote yes or no at kgymradio.com. Our poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue, southeast behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll switch gears momentarily. Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune discusses the Cubs. I'm leaving it at that. Back after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Christine Lisi. This just in, the NCAA has charged the University of Kansas and basketball coach Bill Self with lack of institutional control and other violations. Notice also includes allegations related to the football program under former coach David Beatty. Of utmost concern to the NCAA, Self and Kansas' relationship with sponsor Adidas. Adidas was at the center of a federal investigation into corruption in college basketball. Self and the school plan to fight the allegations. A major void for the Giants on offense. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting an MRI confirmed the star running back Saquon Barkley has a high ankle sprain and is expected to miss 4 to 8 weeks. Barkley's absence especially impacts rookie quarterback Daniel Jones, explains ESPN's Ryan Clark.
He's a guy you can have as an outlet in any type of passing situation. He can also create the big play with the run and make teams stack the box against you. So as Saquon Barkley goes out, you not only lose a great threat when he has the ball in his hand, but you lose one of the best decoys in the NFL.
Our Ryan Clark.
Coming up on Tuesday, they were viewed as a Super Bowl contender in the preseason, and the one word that defines their season so far, questionable. Plus, why should one team be panicking even though they're undefeated? That and more, Golic and Wingo Tuesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Learn more at ncsei.com.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Cooler weather's around the corner, which means your ride better be ready. At AutoZone, we've got the free services you need to drive with confidence. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. It could be something serious or maybe something simple. So knowing the likely issue can save you a lot of time and money down the road. And if you need help from a repair shop, we know some of the best. To learn more, visit us online at AutoZone.com. Restrictions and details apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Don't you hate scrambling on the road when you're looking for a place to spend the night?
We all do. That's why when you travel for work, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham.
They've got everything you need to tackle the job, from free high-speed Wi-Fi to a spacious workspace right in your room.
Plus, their Bright Side breakfast comes with waffles, eggs, fruit, and meat.
Now, that's a game changer.
They've got over 900 locations so you can cover the gridiron.
And best of all, they're part of Wyndham Rewards, so those extra points really add up.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. Monday's program brought to you by the good folks at Randy's Flooring. You can check them out here in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Joining us now to discuss what occurred over the weekend, I've struggled all day long trying to figure out how to bring our next guest onto the program. I'm still at a loss for words. Mark Gonzalez, who has covered the Chicago Cubs for the Chicago Tribune since 2013, is with us now. And Mark, how do you put into words what we saw in this four-game series against the Cardinals? Something that hasn't happened to the Cubs since 1915. Five straight one-run losses, four to the Cardinals, the last game against the Reds, and essentially the season is up in smoke.
Yeah, up in smoke would be the appropriate phrase. I think that the Cardinals are the better team. They found ways to win, and they're playing like a championship team right now, and the Cubs are playing just good enough to lose. I think that's the way to do it, and I'll top that by saying all along the Cubs looked down the road at the schedule thinking, hey, we're going to play the Cardinals seven games the final 10 days. We can take care of it then. But if you put yourself in a predicament like they did, where they had to win those games, this is what you get. And I think the Cubs actually backed themselves into a corner, and the Cardinals playing with all the chips really took it to when it counted.
The deja vu of like the last week, is it surreal? Have you ever seen anything like it where a team just consistently sort of loses in the same way?
No, I mean, you could see it for two or three consecutive games, but the last two were just, I guess words can't describe what happened, especially the way it happened with Kimbrel on consecutive pitches, throwing 97, 96 miles an hour, and these guys taking them the distance. And then yesterday with Darvish pitching what some people who have followed him all his career thought was his best game he's pitched in the States, to go so far and then have that ball graze off Almora's glove, you just felt, okay, here we go again. It's really demoralizing if you're a Cub fan, and there's just no other way to explain it. Just just how frustrating it is, but yet it's the same old song again, and you wonder just what's in store after something like this.
Demoralizing is a good way to put it, because I was kind of down yesterday, and then I watched that clip that you posted on Twitter of Anthony Rizzo talking about growing pains, and that's what really sort of stuck the knife in and twisted it. This is a team that's been to the postseason four straight years, won a World Series in 2016. What is he talking about, growing pains?
I just think when you grow in pains, you live to learn with them, and you move on. You use it as a learning tool. The problem is you can't apply it to this year. This year is virtually over. And then next year, you know, who knows what this team's going to look like. And for those who come back, there's also going to be a segment of new players who haven't gone through this before. So to the ones that return, yeah, it's growing pains. But you know what? This team was built to win now, and they've regressed every year since 2016. So it's kind of perplexing what he said. But I think it speaks to a larger picture in that these guys were assumed that they were going to be there in the end. It doesn't work that way. You got to go out and get it and build yourself a margin for error, which the Cardinals did. And then for the Cardinals to step on their throats like this makes it hurt even more.
Whenever a team misses the playoffs by just a couple of games, they're not mathematically out of it, but the season is all but done. You kind of think back to a certain point in the season or a couple of factors, and it's not just one thing, but if you had to put your finger on a couple of factors as to why the Cubs are in this position, what are the biggest ones?
I just think this team really let games get away from them on the road. I felt the All-Star break, this team was in trouble. Simply because I think there was too much of what happened last year in terms of, hey, we took two out of three, or we split this series, that's okay. That's unacceptable. I think you got to go out and treat every game the same. Theo Epstein spoke about it in the offseason about treating game one as important as 162. You got to go all out. Can't be content with taking the first two games of the series. And I think the players were too content in this case. And I also think that the bullpen, not having an abundance of power arms, that caught up to him. When you're relying on contact, the ball's going to be put in the right place, and when you don't place it properly, it's going to get hit somewhere else where the defense isn't. I think that's what happened throughout most of the first month. You know, the first month, they did get things straightened out, but then Strope went down, and the bullpen was a mess, and they thought Kimbrel was going to be the answer. He wasn't. And this is what you get, a lot of walk-off or one- or two-run losses.
You can follow Mark Gonzalez on Twitter at MDGonzalez. Mark has covered the Cubs since 2013. We appreciate his time with us here tonight on KGYM. Have we seen the last of Chris Bryant this season? I know he was scheduled to undergo an MRI this morning. Certainly looked not good stepping on the base, first base yesterday.
I think it'd be wise for them just to sit him down. He's had a really painful year. I think people forget that he's played the last 3 months with a sore right knee, and now with the ankle, it's just not looking all in his favor. I don't think there's much to gain by him coming back at any point. I'm sure he wouldn't be healthy enough to play Tuesday, just given the nature of the sprain. And at this point, I think he's better off, and the Cubs are better off just letting him rest it and going to the offseason healing up.
Looking ahead to the offseason, how interesting is it going to be to follow the free agency of Nick Castellanos? Is there a chance that he returns to the north side?
I think there's a chance. I think there's got to be some financial gymnastics performed as far as moving some money to get him back. I really like him, not just for his bat, but for his attitude. It seems like he gets it. When I say gets it, he knows that every game's important, needs to bust his tail. He does it. And I think he sets a good example for the others.
The other obvious question here is Joe Maddon's status. I think everybody kind of understands at this point that he most likely will not return next season. His contract is up at the end of the year. I heard Andy Green fired by San Diego over the weekend, and my mind immediately went to Joe in San Diego. What do you think happens with him this offseason?
I think there's going to be no shortage of interest in Joe Maddon. Now, where he's a favorite, I don't know. That's a key question because there's so many factors. There might be cases where a team where the general manager thinks of somebody else might be overruled by an owner who sees somebody and Joe that can sell tickets. Joe's a very capable manager. I think the big thing with Joe that has a lot going for him is that he's helped build franchises like he did in Tampa. He's taken on teams and brought them to higher levels like he did with the Cubs. And, you know, he's a guy that's in tune with analytics and all that. So he's not a dinosaur. I think he offers a lot, and I think that the Wise teams will see that.
As far as the Cubs, there's been a lot of speculation as to what direction they'll head for their manager. Does it look sort of more and more apparent that they might go the new age, lower price, young, former player, analytics-driven manager?
I think once they decide which direction they want to go, I think that'll dictate who they hire. I don't see them getting a guy who's, you know, well seasoned as a manager. I could see them hiring a guy like you just referenced, a guy who's, you know, new age and maybe has an analytical edge to him. But at the same time, I would think the next manager would have a lot of people in his ears, people telling him or suggesting what he should do and all that. And it remains in question whether that person would make out the lineup, given what's going on in baseball with these hands-on executives, you know, the analytics guys, the propeller heads, as I call them, and many others do, put it out there, the information, and thinking that what the computer tells them is best rather than trusting the human eye and the human heart.
Mark Theo Epstein has talked basically since spring training about if things were to go off the rails this year, it to maybe blow, not necessarily blow things up in the offseason, but major changes. And I think most people look at that and understand that that could go beyond just changing, as you referenced, who fills out the lineup card. Is there a possibility that heading into the winter meetings, we see Theo make a move that's going to have Cub fans talking?
Oh, I think he has to. I think there's no doubt. I said he should have done it last year because, you know, even he referenced it saying, you know, you got to take performance over talent. And they had failed to go to the National League Championship Series last year. It was like the first time in 4 years. And they thought that the way the season crumbled in the second half, I think it behooved them to shake things up. And he didn't do so. And he got burned even more this year. So I think he's got to do it. I know some people have said, well, his players don't have the same values they did before. Well, sometimes you got to cut your losses, and I think he's at that point right now.
Mark, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us today. The season not over yet. The Cubs still travel to Pittsburgh. Kyle Hendricks gets the ball in the opener, followed by John Lester, and then to be determined. Who do you think to be determined could be?
I'm putting my money on Alec Mills. I don't see I'm blanking right now, but I don't see Cole Hamels taking that start. I just think it's wise to give him a rest. He's got a sore left oblique. He's had a good run here, and I would hate to see them risk sending him out there and re-injuring that, especially when he's a free agent.
Well, Mark, it should be a very interesting offseason, and I certainly look forward to, as a Tribune subscriber, reading about it from your perspective. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
Again, you can give him a follow if you don't already on Twitter, at MD Gonzalez. That's Gonzalez with an S on the end. Mark has covered this team from the end of the Dale Swaim era to the glorious Ricky Renteria season at the helm, best remembered as the 100th anniversary of Wrigley Field, and then a tumultuous but extremely fun five-season run with Joe Maddon at the helm. That would be Joe Maddon, your next skipper of the San Diego Padres.
The San Diego Padres.
Look at the young talent.
That's the perfect spot for him.
The young talent on that roster reminds me a lot of some of the teams that he had in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
The farm system that San Diego has one of the best farm systems in baseball, so the talent is still coming. It's going to be a good opportunity if they want to step up to the plate and pay big money for a manager. And I think they will. I think they will. So my money is on Joe Maddon as the next manager of the Padres. The next manager of the Cubs is
David Ross.
Walking into a situation where I don't think you can win. I think you've got a roster there that could win, but I don't think the next manager is walking into a situation where they can be successful.
It's hard because I do think that I said in mid-July, we had this discussion about whether or not, or it was in mid-August, whether or not a managerial change would have worked at that point. And I still think that maybe a fresh voice in the clubhouse could have helped at that point, but that's a temporary fix. That's something that gets you on a run maybe for a month or two, and then after that, can you find your consistency and can you keep going? I don't understand why this team can't be good, but it's all going to start with pitching. Can they hold together in the rotation and in the bullpen? And the offense has been a little bit up and down as well. The injuries have been there. This year has been the perfect storm of sort of futility. And these last five games, I can't say that I've seen anything like it where it was just finding a way to lose a one-run game in the ninth inning. It was pretty crazy.
Meanwhile, you've got John Mozeliak, who was absolutely murdered at the trade deadline for not making any deals. And I know you're laughing because we've talked about it on this program. And Cardinals fans were not happy with the fact that he basically didn't do anything. And needless to say, he had faith in that roster, and it's pulled through for him.
Isn't it kind of interesting that at the trade deadline, and not just at the trade deadline, over the past few years, I've said it, you've said it, we've all kind of looked at what Theo Epstein has done and said, okay, well, he's in a situation where the ownership is cash-strapped, or apparently, quote-unquote cash-strapped, and they're not willing to go out and spend money, so he has to get very creative with who he brings in.
Well, they must not be too cash-strapped because Tom Ricketts was in the bleachers on Saturday throwing hot dogs out to the crowd, so if he can afford, there's $7 there.
But
credit John Mozeliak for having the wherewithal to play his cards.
Right.
He could have folded, he could have checked. He held his cards, and
he could have brought in Keuchel or Kimbrel or whoever, and it just he stood pat. I'm not saying this team isn't flawed, and what he's put together is the best team in the world, but they're finding their stride at least.
This will sound like sour grapes, and I could very well be proven wrong on this, but I would not run out if I were a Cardinals fan and put down a huge chunk of change on postseason gear, because I don't think any of the teams in the Central are built to compete with teams from the East and West, at least not this season. You knew Paul Goldschmidt wasn't going to struggle for an entire season. You knew eventually Marcell Ozuna would find his footing, and then he gets hurt, and then he comes back, and he's been tremendous.
The wild card was Jack Flaherty.
Which at the beginning of the season, I said, this kid can be their ace. And I thought Jack Flaherty and Alex Reyes 1-2. And isn't it funny how you get to the end of the season and Reyes isn't even in the picture. Flaherty's finally pitching like the player that everybody knew that he could be coming up in the Cardinals system. I'm not too sold on Carlos Martinez in the back end of that bullpen. You get into the postseason, you're going to be playing a lot of tight games, and I'd be a little bit concerned about that. But you get Gallegos, who I remember people thought, oh man, they completely blew that trade with the Yankees. And now, all of a sudden, you get a very workable piece there.
I forgot he was in that trade, wasn't
mm-hmm.
he? With Chasen Shreve?
Chasen Shreve and Gallegos for Luke Voit. This Cardinals team, give them credit for riding the storm out, for being just good enough. And I have a piece of paper on my desk. I referenced it in the 4 o'clock hour. I do predictions at the beginning of every baseball season, and that piece of paper has stared me in the face. I literally have looked at it every single day when I've come into the office, and I had St. Louis atop the division, I had Milwaukee finishing second, and I had Chicago in third place, and then I took a pen, and I drew an arrow from the Cubs, and I put them between the Cardinals and the Brewers, and that was the fan in me. At the last minute, I just couldn't quite come to terms with the fact. Remember, Pakoda projections at the beginning of the season had the Cubs awful.
Yeah.
And everybody laughed, but this was not a great season. For me, what I keep coming back to, and I know we need to take a break here, and Kyle's going to join us to get us a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber sooner rather than later, but I keep coming back to if they had Craig Kimbrell at the beginning of the season, and again, they claim not to have had the financial wherewithal to be able to pull that off, and they didn't want to spend the $500,000 and the compensation pick and all of that stuff. But the early season woes, while this team was trying to find its way with the bullpen, and you knew that Brandon Morrow, Theo Epstein has made some major miscalculations, and going all in on Brandon Morrow, a guy who's had injury, a long, long history of arm injuries, to be your closer the last couple seasons, that one backfired. It backfired big time. And then Kimbrell, on the back half of the season, has been very pedestrian. And now you've got him under contract for two more years. It really is a depressing situation going into. And the season isn't over yet. The Cubs are four games back in the wild card, but it essentially does feel like it's over. They'll begin that three-game series at Pittsburgh, and then they've got three games against the Cardinals, which, hey, maybe the Cardinals will be resting up and trying to... Okay, I can't do it. I can't find the silver lining. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Bears and Washington coming up tonight. The Monday night football game. We've got the Cyclone Sideline Show for you on 1600 AM. A lot more ground to cover, but as we mentioned, Kyle will be joining us here in the studio very shortly. He'll get you a big board update on the other side of this break. You're listening to Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
Toyota of Iowa City had exactly what I was looking for on their lot.
Well, they made the whole buying process easy and surprisingly fast.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the back-to-school maintenance special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road. You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Lawn legends, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a Deere. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See JohnDeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit CityTractor.com.
Happy Joe's isn't afraid of a tough matchup. They'll put their large pizza up against anybody else in town. Theirs is the biggest. That means they can feed families, fans, or whole teams until they're good and full. Their pizzas are famous, too. They originated the taco pizza, and it's still a fan favorite. Plus, everyone loves Happy Joe's VIP Club. It's easy to sign up, and you'll get exclusive offers and earn points towards a free pizza. Order online today from Happy Joe's 3 Cedar Rapids locations at happyjoescr.com. Delivery or carryout available.
Why buy from Toyota of Iowa City?
I was very comfortable with the straightforward way they presented the numbers.
I'm impressed how long the staff has been there. They truly are my advocates.
Toyota of Iowa City. We make it easy.
526, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Monday. Presented by Randy's Flooring, local flooring experts. by design. You can visit them in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville. Check them out ahead of time online at randysflooring.com. Do you have children? Do you have pets? Randy's has flooring options specifically designed for people in those situations, and we thank them for their sponsorship here on Mondays. More program to get to, 6:03 tonight. We will turn our attention to Monday Night Football, the Bears and Redskins, and the week that was in the National Football League. Injury news, not very good for Saquon Barkley and the New York Giants. All that and more to come. We'll get to some more baseball discussion here shortly, and your texts that came in during the first hour of tonight's show with regard to Bruce Harreld's comments about the future of the Iowa-Iowa State football series. But first, as we do three times a day on the program, courtesy of Alexander Lumber in Iowa City, Kyle Mann, our producer, is going to bring you a big board update.
It was a game for the record books for Brock Purdy and the Cyclones on Saturday as they piled up over 700 yards of total offense in a 72-20 demolition of Louisiana Monroe. Purdy stole the show by being responsible for as many touchdowns as he threw in completions, going 21 for 27 for 435 yards and three touchdowns through the air, as well as 75 more yards and three more touchdowns on the ground. The team's 714 yards and Purdy's 510 individually are both school records, and he became the first player in Big 12 history with 400 yards passing, three passing touchdowns, and three rushing touchdowns, so he was fittingly named this week's Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week. All that said, the Cyclones find themselves on the outside of this week's AP Top 25. Meanwhile, the Hawkeyes have moved up to number 14. And there's been a story that just hasn't gone away since those two teams met 2 weeks ago. And Iowa President Bruce Harreld didn't do anything to help when he spoke with the Daily Iowan, suggesting that the Cy-Hawk series may be discontinued if measures can't be taken to ensure that whatever happened doesn't happen again. He also likened the response to Iowa's handling of the situation to victim blaming. You and I had to fight for a close one hosting Idaho State over the weekend, winning 13-6. They trailed 6-3 at halftime and into the fourth, but scored 10 unanswered to get the victory. They moved to 2-1 and traveled to Weber State this weekend. Tonight after the show, we'll have John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as David Montgomery and the Chicago Bears taking on the Redskins on Monday Night Football, and that'll be on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
We mentioned on Friday's show that Kansas was looking over its shoulder with the NCAA ready to come down on them. Pat Forty and the crew at Yahoo Sports are reporting that the Kansas men's basketball program has been charged with multiple level one allegations, including, and it's everyone's favorite buzz term, lack of institutional control.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's never good, is it?
No, it's not. But like you said, look out, Cleveland State.
It's a bad time to be a small school, especially if you've committed a very minor infraction, because the NCAA is going to need to take its anger out on somebody. This is the Collective Yahoo report. Kansas has been charged with lack of institutional control, three level one violations in men's basketball, and there is a head coach responsibility charge against Coach Bill Self, according to multiple sources. There also are allegations against football, sources added, although those are level two violations. Well, there you go. I imagine that news will make Iowa State fans pretty happy.
The football program was cheating, too.
Well,
it wasn't.
If they
really
were, they were doing a really poor job of it.
Yeah.
Bill Self,
unbelievable,
named in that report. That's never good when your name comes up. And lack of institutional control also is not a pleasant subject for NCAA member institutions. And three more level one violations.
See, I find it a little bit funny that Bill Self and Kansas are saying, okay, we're gonna fight this. You were caught by the FBI. The NCAA had no interest in catching you. The FBI caught you and forced the NCAA to do something to show that they have a spine. That's why you're in this situation.
This is still, I think, going to continue to linger. We've seen Louisville pulled in and other programs, and now Kansas. I don't want to say it's just the tip of the iceberg, but you start dragging a program like Kansas down, I don't think anybody can necessarily feel all that safe. 319-366-1600, the text line informs me, and I have not even bothered to look ahead to the pitching matchups for the Cubs-Pirates, but the text line informing me that Mitch Keller pitches against the Cubs tomorrow at PNC Park. It'll be his second time seeing them this season. He faced them in Williamsport during the Little League Classic. Pitchers usually perform a little bit better the second time they've seen a lineup. Other baseball news today, because I don't want to dwell on the Cubs all that much longer, because all it does is make people angry. Cubs fans are angry because we're talking about the collective failure of the team this year, and then fans of every other team are jealous because the Cubs are the one being talked about. Ned Yost out as manager of the Royals. He's reportedly stepping aside at the end of the season. Mike Matheny is a possible replacement, although there was a report earlier today that Matheny was going to have the job, and then some people have been trying to throw a bucket of cold water on that. Nothing is official yet. The Kansas City Royals certainly seem to have a type.
Yeah, if in fact they go with Mike Matheny.
It's good news. I know I heard the guys on the gym class talking about it. Possibly good news for area native Cal Eldred. Yeah,
him and Mike are pretty tight.
Yes. Cal has been the pitching coach for the Royals this season, his first year on the job, and it didn't necessarily go all that well. But if it is Mike Matheny, there could be some staff continuity there with somebody that he has a level of familiarity with. 319-366-1600. Let's circle back around. I think the prudent thing to do here would be to revisit the topic of the day, which is Bruce Harreld's comment on the Iowa-Iowa State series. If you missed the first hour of the program today or have been virtually offline, maybe you're on an airplane with no Wi-Fi or something flying across the country, we're still talking on September 23rd, 2019, about Iowa and Iowa State playing football. And that game occurred, I believe, September 14th. So 9 days ago?
Yes, 9 days ago that game occurred. And
this is like an episode of The Twilight Zone where it's either that or Groundhog Day.
Rob Howe was right on Friday, by the way. I have to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah.
I'm not happy that he was right, but he was right.
We were leaving the building and Rob made a comment about still talking about this on Monday, and here we are. And in no large part due to Bruce Harreld, the president of the University of Iowa, who made some comments to the Daily Iowan. They have access to him that other news outlets don't necessarily get, which I think is a great thing.
I was going to say I like that he gives exclusive access to the student, the student newspaper.
It's a long-standing.
That's awesome.
I have no idea how long this dates back to, but years, decades.
That's a tradition worth keeping.
Yes. I probably lost a ton, not that I have street cred to begin with, but I probably lost it in droves with the Daily Iowan crowd because I was hunting and pecking for permission today to air the clip of Bruce Harreld, and I was given the email address of Marissa, who was the reporter who had the story. And so I did my due diligence and I fired off an email. And then I came to realize that Marissa follows me on Twitter. And so I could have just sent her a direct message, which is probably something that somebody slightly more in touch with the current mode of communication would. But no, here I am. I may as well have sent a Western Union telegram to Iowa City to ask permission, stop, so now I feel, boy, all these 19, 21-year-old kids down there are probably laughing at the old man who emailed today. He got an email!
No, that's just a profession. You took the professional route,
it's Todd. Yeah, there you go. And the last thing I want is anybody to be like, yeah, sliding into some college kids' DMs.
I was going to say, I did that with one of our guests a couple of weeks ago, a high-profile guest, and I had to like put it at the bottom. Hey, sorry for the unprofessional way of reaching out to you. Just, is there an email that I can... Is there a place I can email you? That would be
Maria
Taylor.
Some people like to be reached. Other people do not. Now, you can always reach us. We're on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, at AlexCoon523, at KGYM Radio, the text line, Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. I'm stuttering a little bit today, and I'm blaming it on watching Mel Tillis on the PBS country music documentary, which I'm a couple episodes behind on. Very excited to get home and fire up. I believe it's episode number 5 that I'm up to right now. If you like country music, even if you don't like country music, this Ken Burns is doing masterful work on public television, and this country music documentary is absolutely fantastic, and that's all I'll say about that. Our poll question today, do you believe the Iowa-Iowa State football series is in jeopardy? Yes or no? The poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. I don't have the specific data in front of me, but I'm looking at the vote totals here, and I can't remember a time where we have had as many votes on a poll question as we have on this one. And I would say that we're running about 95% no, that the series is not in jeopardy at this point.
They assume that Bruce Harreld is just posturing here.
And I said this in hour number one. I do think that this is saber rattling.
I think it's also a level of frustration, too.
Well, again, he's bothered by the fact that his bro, for lack of a better term, his bra, Gary Barta, usually keeps this stuff from getting to him. And in this particular instance, Barta didn't do a good enough job of brushing this off and taking care of it himself. And so now Bruce is getting his hands dirty, and he probably isn't happy about it. And so the DI sits down for this interview, and again, this is saber rattling. This is a little bit of Cuban Missile Crisis here, where you brinksmanship, if you will, where you tow right up to the line, and then both sides figure out how to move forward without anybody doing anything too drastic.
I hope so. I know that there are a lot of Iowa fans out there, and maybe to a lesser extent, Iowa State fans that don't want this series to go on. But like we talked about in the first hour, now is when we're going to have this discussion, really. Like this series has survived, as you mentioned, Iowa's win streak, and then the likes of Iowa State pushing back, and then the Paul Rhodes era. And now that Iowa State finally has their guy in Matt Campbell, who is doing unprecedented things at that school, now we're going to have the discussion about canceling the series because of the idiots, the alleged drunk idiots outside Jack Trice Stadium. It seems really stupid, and it sort of seems, if it were serious, it would be like a cop-out.
By the way, people who enjoy drinking occasional beers before football games are upset that we're besmirching and blaming drinking on this. I want to be very clear about this. You can be stone cold sober and still be a jackass.
Yeah.
So I think the easy thing is here, and especially given the circumstances of the day, and in hindsight, what are you supposed to do if you're Jamie Pollard in Iowa State? You have this highly anticipated event in College Game Day coming to town, and you know that it's going to be a logistical nightmare. So you announce to everybody, hey, parking lots open at 5 a.m. so that people can get to town early, get set up, get to the game day broadcast. So then it's, okay, you can start lining up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get in when the gate opens at 5:30, whenever the kettle call was to get inside. Logistically speaking, there's not much you can do to prevent people from getting out of hand at that point. A 5 a.m. parking lot call for a football game that kicks off at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But this wasn't any normal circumstances. That you had College Game Day there, and they wanted to accommodate, and they wanted to put their best foot forward, which, by the way, if you've seen any of the comments last week from ESPN's public relations people, they were goo goo gaga for the job that Iowa State did in providing a scenic backdrop. The cheerleaders, the fans, everybody got a thumbs up for it. From that point, it was a victory for Iowa State. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's reset the... They gave us permission to play it. Hopefully it wasn't just one time. This is the Daily Iowan sitting down with Bruce Harreld, the president of the University of Iowa. They do this on the regular. And Bruce Harreld, the topic of the day is the Iowa-Iowa State series. Marissa Payne is the reporter here who did the sit-down interview. I believe she's the editor at this point. Should probably brush up on that myself. But the comments that have everybody going here really are at the beginning and at the end of this, because this is pretty pointed language from Bruce Harreld. He's not talking about this like he's contemplating. This almost sounds like if the decision were up to him, it's made at this point. So just listen and listen carefully to what Bruce Harreld has to say here with regard to Iowa and Iowa State and the football series moving forward. It's a little bit, again, I said this in the 4 o'clock hour, it's a little bit longer than I would prefer, but to edit it, to take anything out in the middle, would have possibly led people to not understand the full context of what he's getting at the end of the clip. So, again, many thanks to Marissa and the folks at the Daily Iowan, DITV. You can read all of their coverage at thedailyiowan.com. I am, in full disclosure, a DI alum. Spent 4 terrific years there from 1999 to 2003. This is theirs. They own this, and they've got everybody pointing back to them, which is fantastic. Bruce Harreld saying some things that are going to rile up people on both sides of the Iowa-Iowa State rivalry.
I'm not convinced at all that we should play this game again, here or there or anywhere, unless we can protect our fans, our band, and, of course, our athletes. And so I've reached out to President Winterstein, as well as President Nook at UNI, because we don't ever, I believe, ever play in their venue, but they play in our venues. And I think all three of us need to sit down and have a series of conversations with our athletic directors, with our band directors, with our campus security and safety people, and say, how do we protect, how do we ensure that something like what happened last weekend, eight days ago, doesn't happen again. And I think we need to put it on paper. How large should our security forces be? Where should the band bus park? What tunnel should we have a secure group of people, of officers and security people protecting them? And then the same end of the stand. I think there's a lot to document here, and I think we need to have a series of conversations. And when we get there, if we get there, then I think we can start, I'll consider playing this game again. But I'm not going to put our students or our band or athletes in harm's way. Something happened, and it isn't right. And we all can do better. And I'm not just talking about in Ames. I know about Iowa City, too. So it works both ways. We can all improve, and we should take this opportunity to improve from it. I'm a little frustrated right now that this happened not in Iowa City, not in Kinnick. It happened in another stadium, and all of a sudden now it's like victim blaming. All of a sudden now, University of Iowa is part of the issue because we start or stop the investigation. Please, we're going to get to the bottom of this, we're going to get through it all, and then we're going to learn from it and move forward. And if it means that we're not going to play again, then we're not going to play again.
The Daily Iowan, once again with the audio there. How do you feel after hearing Bruce Harreld say what he just did? 319-366-1600. Then we're not going to play the game. Again, to me, this is brinksmanship and saber rattling, and I don't think the series is in any doubt of moving forward. Hell, it's under contract for the next 6 or 7 years. They keep extending the thing. I can't remember whether it's 2023 or 2026. I get the Cyhawk extension confused with Kirk Ferentz's contract extensions at this point. I can't remember which one runs longer, but this is the president of the university, kind of perturbed that he has to deal with this. Is my parsing of the situation. Like, come on, Gary, I pay you $1 million to keep this crap from getting to me. Do your job.
That's a very distinct possibility. The other thing that I was wondering was this almost him defending Gary Barta for in the athletic department, saying that they're going through the last part where he brought up victim blaming, and I didn't really understand what he was getting at there. I really didn't understand what he was getting at, because in the end, they were the ones who announced that they were not investigating anymore, and they are the ones that have kept this story alive now for 9 days. So that part I didn't understand. To me, it almost felt like they needed to make a strong statement. They needed to come out and give us something. They needed, because there's been so much gray area. There have been very few solutions recommended. There's been very few details. There are so many still holes in the story as far as what happened, why it happened. We don't know. We have bits and pieces that came from band members, and we're all trying to put it together. And last Friday was not a good look, seeing band members coming out and saying, we don't feel like the athletic department has our back. So he comes out, he says something very strong, like, hey, we might cancel the series. And he has people once again talking about it. So we're in day 9, into all the way through the bye week, and now into game week of the next week.
It really is impressive. And a couple people on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line are saying this is the epitome of making a mountain out of a molehill. It is what it is, to borrow from the lexicon of a former co-host of mine. This is a big story, whether you like it or not, and it's grown into a big story because of how it was handled from the get-go by both sides, who I think approached this as something that really could be dealt with a gentleman's agreement, if you will. And the band is really deserving of the credit for moving the story forward here, because they wouldn't be quiet. Last Thursday, they got upset and they broke their silence on this because they had been told this is being handled.
Right.
And when the band members felt that they did not get justice, they spoke up. And now here you go, fast forward to Monday, and you have the president of the university. He had to have been rolling his eyes. Come on, Gary. All of the other stuff that you've shielded from getting to me in my office, even the Fran stuff, which I gave you a pass on, and this is how you reward me? 319-366-1600. Mountain out of a molehill or not, this is a story in the state of Iowa. What else is going on? The Bears play on Monday night.
There are people questioning whether or not the president of the university threatening to cancel the Iowa State series is news.
Really? I'm hoping that is a criticism of how the story has been handled.
Yes,
and
I
not
get that.
How it's being covered.
I think that's what it is.
Because I completely agree. This was two sides that I think felt no harm, no foul here. We'll take care of this. Nobody needs to know about it. And somewhere along the line, it got mishandled to the point that the band decided, okay, we're going to nuke this thing. We're going to blow it up. People are going to know what the allegations are. Everything from some female band members were groped by people walking through the crowd. There's somebody with a broken rib reportedly or allegedly from an incident where they were shoved to the ground. I'm having a hard time keeping everything straight here, but you have people that have bodily harm and no police reports on site, nothing until after the fact. And look, if you've watched enough Law & Order SVU, you know that it's really difficult on law enforcement's jobs after the fact to come back and try to prove that anything happened. So from Iowa State's standpoint, And there's some culpability here as well. And as Bruce Harreld says, you know, it's kind of like victim blaming that Iowa State's pointing the fingers at Iowa here. It's time for the adults to
see, and that's the thing.
Up.
That's what we're not realizing here. That whoever did the, if these people are out there, they're still out there unpunished, and that frustrates me. Because if in fact that did happen, which I have no reason to believe that it didn't, those people should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, because they need to be made an example of. They need some kind of punishment to deter people from doing this crap in the future, because at this point we're 9 days after the game, and because of idiots in the parking lot, alleged idiots in the parking lot, the president felt the need to threaten the series. I keep coming back to that.
Let's go to the phone lines here, and we'll start off with John in Lisbon. John, what'd you make of Bruce Harreld's comments?
Well, I was thinking more on the line of, is he trying to make this a point so he can get out of the series, so he can bring in a lesser opponent where we would always have a home game? With the addition of the extra Big Ten game, we lose that. So I guess I don't know if there's any thoughts that there's a conspiracy theory that it might be just about money.
Bruce Harreld playing three-dimensional chess to get out of the Iowa-Iowa State
series. Oh, that theory's out there, John.
It is.
Trust me.
It would cost Iowa money to break the contract, but the type of money that it would cost is literally circus peanuts. Let's go to David in Coralville. It's been a while since we've heard from David. What's on your mind, David?
Hey, guys. I'm going to try to keep it short tonight. My biggest thing with Bruce Harreld, listening to that interview, Todd, you have a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten to the point where you say, I'm going to turn this car around?
Did it this weekend. Did it this weekend.
Like you're threatening something that you know. You look over at your wife and she's like, seriously, we can't turn around. We're halfway there. But you threaten something that's just like, because seriously, Bruce, Alex just said that. It's like talking to four-year-olds. It's like, guys, seriously, like, can we get this figured out? So, I mean, I'm frustrated, just like Alex said. I'm hoping that something comes of it. They're made an example of, because, I mean, why would you pick on kids in the band? I don't get that. So, like, for me, you know, anyway, just feels like a situation where Bruce Harreld, like, exactly like you guys said, fed up, but he's doing the whole, don't make me turn this car around. Anyway, you guys are awesome. Have a good day.
David, appreciate it. Do you
Very
want the Boston
analogy.
Market or not? I will turn this car around. Do you want the... We did that this weekend. My son is three, and I said, I'll tell you what. I am getting off the road here at this next exit, and by the time I come to the stop sign, you better tell me whether or not we're still going out to eat or not, or whether I'm turning around and going home. What he didn't know was I was pulling off at the exit to get to where we were going. So he's three. He bit. He took the bait. Everything was fine. But that does seem to be a little bit of what's going on here, and a couple people are echoing my sentiment. The adults need to take over. Somebody needs to be an adult here. And last week, the adults once again wound up being the kids, for lack of a better term. I thought the band handled it as best they could, because they waited, they did as they were instructed, and they learned a very valuable lesson. Sometimes people in power don't necessarily have your best interest in mind. And so they waited until they were kicked in the shorts to say, hey, wait a minute, we want justice here. And so kudos to them for speaking up. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, if you'd like to weigh in with us. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will let you know what's in store in the 6 o'clock hour. Spoiler alert, Bears talk is on the way.
At Menards, save on your next project with 11% off everything. Effortlessly brighten your home with Dakota pre-finished decorative square-edge shelving. This 7¾-inch by 4-foot premium quality shelving can add a touch of color or blend seamlessly with your decor. Only $6.22 each after sale price and 11% off. Get 11% off everything at Menards. Good through September 28th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
For every step of achievement.
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh. For every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day ever. Member FDIC.
Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team. Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this. Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at KGYMRadio.com. 3077 on the text line. Come on. It's time to move on and talk sports. You guys are just dragging this out. This is a sports story. This is the president of the University of Iowa talking in very pointed language about canceling the most anticipated football game of the year in the state of Iowa.
No, this is us, Todd. We're doing this. This is us making the story.
This is a sports story.
Unbelievable.
Now, if you've been listening for two straight hours, God bless you. Text me your address. I'm going to get you some KGYM gear. Got some pint glasses, some t-shirts. I appreciate you. But this is a sports story. A pretty big one. The president of the university is talking about either suspending or not continuing to play Iowa State in football. 319-366-1600. Speaking of football, Monday Night Football on tap for you tonight on our FM frequencies. Dub Airs. Traveling to Washington, D.C., actually the suburbs of Washington, D.C., to take on the Washington Redskins. Bears a five-point favorite. Is this going to get Mitchell Trubisky back on track? We'll get to that and more coming up. Some NFL discussion for you. Stick to sports, folks, in the 6 o'clock hour. It's next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Christine Lisi, the NCAA's charged the University of Kansas and basketball coach Bill Self with lack of institutional control and other violations. The notice also includes allegations related to the football program under former coach David Beatty. Of utmost concern to the NCAA, Self, and Kansas' relationship with sponsor Adidas. Adidas was at the center of a federal probe into corruption into college basketball. Self and the school plan to fight the allegations. Live coverage now on ESPN TV and the ESPN app for the Bears and Redskins on Monday Night Football. It has not been an easy start for Chicago quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, who has yet to throw a touchdown pass and has struggled on deeper throws. Trubisky needs to follow some basic advice from his coach, says Monday Night Football's Joe Tessitore.
He has to stop thinking of himself as the hero, as the superstar who has to get it done. There is so much talent on this team. Just be the point guard. Just play basic football, simplify things. I think things were overloaded a little bit early in the year coming out of that Thursday night game that was like exhibition football. There was no flow to it.
Joe Tessitore on The Will Cain Show. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Giants running back Saquon Barkley expected to miss 4 to 8 weeks with a high ankle sprain. The longer timeline is considered more likely for Barkley. Jets coach Adam Gase told reporters everything looks like it's trending in the right direction for QB Sam Darnold to return from mono and play in week 5. Argentina and Barcelona forward Lionel Messi named FIFA Male Player of the Year. Top female player, U.S. national team star Megan Rapinoe.
The hunt for October continues. The Washington Nationals and the Philadelphia Phillies. Wednesday at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. Presented by Scotts.
Tired of wearing the same 5 shirts every week? We can help. Stitch Fix is a personal styling service that matches you with your own stylist. Someone who listens to what works for you and delivers clothes right to your door. So you take the hassle out of shopping and find new styles that leave you feeling great. It starts with a simple profile you create in just minutes. Explore different styles and leave notes for your stylist about what you like. For a small $20 styling fee, your clothes are hand-selected for you based on your profile and then delivered to you so you can try them on in the comfort of your own home. Pay only for what you keep and send everything else back. Plus, the styling fee is applied to what you keep and shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. With Stitch Fix, you'll get access to great looks ranging from refined to rugged, and everything is hand-selected to fit your physique and your budget. Discover the stylist and styles that work for you at stitchfix.com. Personal styling for men, women, and kids. stitchfix.com. Personal styling for everybody.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
6:05, welcome back in. It is the 6 o'clock hour, third and final of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on a Monday. That means we are being presented by Randy's Flooring. You can find them in Cedar Rapids and Coralville. Randy's is a proud partner with the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital. You can learn more about how select purchases directly benefit the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital by visiting them in person or by checking out their website, randysflooring.com. We appreciate and value all of our sponsors here locally so much because they believe in us. We're able to do this every single day. And if you are interested and you own a business or you know somebody who is or does and is interested in coming on board with us, I think we provide a tremendous amount of value for the advertising dollar, you can reach out to our wonderful staff here at KGYM. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin & Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. It has certainly been active today. We will cleanse the palate here, just as we did at 5:02 tonight with Mark Gonzalez of the Chicago Tribune. We got the baseball chatter out of the way. The NFL wraps up week 3 with Monday Night Football tonight. It just so happens that the Bears are involved this week as they take on a Redskins team that is not very good, coached by Jay Gruden. A little bit of breaking news here, and I think this is not ideal for Mitch Trubisky, but Bobby Massey is out tonight for the Bears. He's one of their offensive linemen. He is reportedly under the weather. And pretty important to have your offensive line completely healthy, especially for a road game, even if you're better on paper than the team that you're playing. This is an important game tonight, not necessarily for the Bears in general. They're all big. You play to win the game, as Herm Edwards says. This is a pretty big game for Mitchell Trubisky because yep. The pressure is starting to mount. He hasn't looked like that third-year starting quarterback that everybody was expecting through the first 2 weeks of the season. The Redskins aren't very good. This should be an opportunity for him to have a very nice night. For lack of a better term.
Yeah, the narrative is starting to build, and it's not even starting to build. It has been built. That Mitchell Trubisky is still making rookie mistakes, and he's that quarterback that everyone has figured out and isn't going to be able to adjust to the league, quote-unquote, figuring him out. And through the first couple weeks, that's been very clear. Now people will sit there and say, oh, okay, well, Green Bay's defense is really good. And then others will say, okay, well, Vic Fangio knows.
I'm going to stop you right there. I want to hear you say that again, just because in how many years that I've walked on this planet, I haven't heard it very much recently. Say what you just did.
Rewind.
We used to do the APC rewind when we would replay an entire freaking segment.
Some people will say that the Green Bay Packers have an elite defense in the NFL.
You didn't say elite the first time. You made it even better.
Adding more to it. And then others will say Vic Fangio, they didn't want to do anything against their defense because Vic Fangio knows Matt Nagy's offense. They didn't want to force anything. No, there are no more excuses for Mitchell Trubisky. This team is loaded. Yeah, they haven't been playing very well. The offensive line has not helped. The receivers have dropped a lot of footballs. But it's still got to be on the quarterback right now because those other two things are not going to continue. Do they have enough confidence in him? Can they get this thing going? I think somebody pointed out the statistic. In Matt Nagy's tenure as the Bears coach, they've scored less than 20 points in 10 of his 19 games.
But I thought
that's not going to get it done. He's an
He was an offensive-minded guy.
He's an offensive guru, right? 10 of 19 games, they scored less than 20 points. That cannot continue because, quite honestly, they have way too much offensive talent to let that happen.
As we mentioned, the Bears are a pretty strong road favorite tonight. The Elite Sportsbook at the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort currently have them installed as a 5.5-point favorite with the total set at 40.5 points. Bears fans, how big is tonight for your outlook when it comes to Mitch Trubisky moving forward as the team's quarterback? 319-366-1600. I'm willing to give the Bears a little bit of a pass on week one against the Packers. That was, I thought, a complete miscarriage of the game plan. They totally underutilized David Montgomery. They got him involved in the running game last week at Denver and seemed to benefit from it. I think this is a great opportunity for the Bears to get healthy tonight. I've talked to a couple people who love Chicago covering the number at 5.5. I think this is an opportunity for Mitch Trubisky, and if he's going to get going tonight, maybe Taylor Gabriel. As I said this on Twitter earlier today, you go big or go home. They have prop bets in Riverside on who's going to score the first touchdown tonight. And if you're going to throw a dart, prop bets, a lot of people will tell you it's throwing money away until you hit one, and then you're pretty happy about it. For instance, I believe David Montgomery, he's actually down to 3-1. He was 4-1 earlier in the day to score the first touchdown of the game, the former Iowa State running back. Can certainly see that. Taylor Gabriel, 12-1. If Mitch Trubisky is going to open things up through the air tonight and get things going, get those wide receivers involved, 12-1 on Taylor Gabriel to score the first touchdown of the game tonight, give me that dart. I'll throw it. I like Tariq Cohen, too, at 8-1. Not to say that what I'm basically saying is that I think the Bears are going to score first tonight, and Washington is going to be playing behind the eight ball from the get-go. My favorite, though, is no touchdown scored, currently paying at 50-1. It's rare, but the over-under is 40.5 in this game. I don't think it's going to be tremendously exciting from an offensive standpoint. The Bears should win this game tonight.
They better.
Washington. Who's the Case Keenum, right?
Case Keenum is the quarterback.
Oh, God.
Defensively, they're young. They could be good, but they're not good right now.
Right? Yeah. That's all I'll say about that at this point. Okay. The Bears should win the game tonight.
Did you kind of get wrapped up in the Bill Belichick controversy of the weekend at all?
With him not addressing... Look, if you're going to sign Antonio Brown, you should be expected to defend that decision. And Bill Belichick not wanting to talk about Antonio Brown, who reportedly is attending online taking online classes at Central Michigan, trying to finish his degree... If you're going to sign the guy with the checkered past, you have to talk about the guy with the checkered past. No. Those are the rules.
And his lack of willingness to do that just sort of showed me, not that it needed to be shown to me, but his lack of perspective on the world outside of that sport. And maybe that's part of what makes him great, but it's hard not to look at the way that this has been handled and not say that Bill Belichick is a schmuck. For the way that he's handled it.
A very, very successful schmuck.
A very successful. I said the same thing about Kobe Bryant when he berated that 12-year-old girl who missed the basketball game because of her dance recital. It's on brand for him. It's maybe part of what made him great as a basketball player. But Bill, your organization, the one that you're basically the head of, the face of, brought in somebody with all kinds of issues, and you knew about most of these issues, and you still brought him in, and you're going to be upset with those who are asking questions about something that, you know what, it's quite honestly a little bit more important than football. It really is.
Nothing's slowing the Patriots down, although they did turn to Tom Brady's backup, and some people were not too happy about that over the weekend because the Patriots were heavy favorites against the Jets, and Tom Brady's backup threw...
That'd be Jarrett Stidham?
It would be Jarrett Stidham. He threw an interception that got returned for a touchdown and turned a Patriots victory from a betting standpoint into a cover for the Jets, and millions of dollars changed hands on that one play, which is always fascinating to think about. And been there, done that, not with millions of dollars, but the Patriots, they're rolling. But they got company in the division. We talked with Ike Botker on Friday's program, The Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. The Buffalo Bills.
Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Still undefeated.
Like we all scripted.
Exactly. Rolling right along. Tied atop the division with the New England Patriots. The injury news coming out of week 3 has to do with another New York team, though, and that would be the Giants and Saquon Barkley. MRI revealing a high ankle sprain. 4 to 8 weeks, the Giants will be without his services. tough to be Daniel Jones, rookie quarterback, taking over for Eli Manning, a guy who led the franchise to two Super Bowl wins. And now not only are you at the point where you're taking over for Eli Manning, but now you're doing it without your biggest offensive weapon.
But Manny looked good yesterday.
He did look good, and there are a ton of takes
out there
about the Giants drafting him. And
slow
and
your roll a little bit on that.
Gettleman, what is he doing? And I can't believe they went all in on this guy. He looked at times like an NFL quarterback should look. And in this environment where there are guys out there starting in the league who don't look like NFL quarterbacks, maybe the Giants aren't the blundering idiots that everybody made them out to be.
We'll see.
But I did say maybe.
Yes. That's sort of the same thing that people were trying to argue with me about the Oakland Raiders after week one and their victory over Denver. The Oakland Raiders
are still the Oakland Raiders. Yes. Smoked by the Vikings over the weekend. Cam Newton is going to miss his second straight game this week. He has the bum ankle. That is not good if you're a Carolina Panthers fan. Is it just me, or are we dealing with a slew of high-profile injuries right out of the gate this year? I don't know. Seems, especially at the quarterback position.
Andrew Luck.
Drew Brees is out for 6 to 8 weeks. Ben Roethlisberger's done for the year. Cam Newton is, and boy, those were some tremendously hot takes last week that Cam Newton was, that he was finished.
Oh yeah, our boy Paul
Feinbaum.
I for those that didn't see it, Paul Feinbaum absolutely roasted Cam Newton, saying that he was selfish and has never been about anybody other than Cam Newton. He doesn't care about winning. And Ryan Clark of ESPN rightfully shot back at him and said, Paul, how are you going to sit here and talk about how great Eli Manning was and in the same breath just destroy Cam Newton like that? I didn't understand that at all. You can say a lot of things about Cam Newton, but that guy cares about winning. I don't think anybody in the NFL that has been around Cam Newton would ever say otherwise.
Was not necessarily the healthiest player last year. He was injured in the preseason, and this is now lingering into the regular season. You can't, I don't think, throw a guy out with the bathwater because he's injured in the preseason and it gets re-aggravated during the regular season. But by all means, by the way, can you name Cam Newton's backup quarterback?
Unfortunately, I can't.
Okay. Yeah, see, Alex, this is no fun playing this with somebody who's a football savant.
No, I thought that Kyle Allen, who is his backup, had a really disappointing college career. He was a former five-star recruit. And scouts sort of doubled down because he's big and has a strong arm. They're like, all right, we're going to give this guy a chance in the NFL. He actually played pretty well against the Cardinals. That he had one more good NFL game than I thought that he would.
The Ravens, that was a popular play going into the weekend. They were getting 6 points at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. They made it a game. Kansas City was able to survive and remain 3-0. But Lamar Jackson, sort of a little bit of a coming out party on the national stage, even though a lot of people looked at what he did in college and said, good quarterback. That game yesterday against the Chiefs, to me, was a little bit of an eye-opener.
Yeah, that offense is good. I think defenses are going to be able to adjust a little bit, but it's not. Lamar Jackson's been great. Mark Ingram has been huge in that offense. The addition of Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, him finding his role with Hayden Hurst, the other tight end, the Baltimore Ravens, They're the leaders to win their division, are they not?
I think they move on from Joe Flacco, they seem to be completely fine.
They might run away with the AFC North.
You look to the NFC, the Rams and the 49ers both begin the season 3-0. I can't say that you would see the 49ers at 3-0 at the beginning of the season, but kudos to George Kittle and company. He's still celebrating the fact that he's been noticed on Twitter by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah. George, who's a great guy, he's been on the program with us a number of times and is a great ambassador to the former, to his alma mater. The 49ers at 3-0.
49ers at 3-0. George Kittle, by the way, is becoming one of the biggest brands in football.
Yeah, that guy's made himself a lot of money.
Yes, he has. And his career after football in the WWE is going to be really interesting. But you mentioned the Rams. That wasn't the story from that game. The Cleveland Browns. Yikes. I'm not going to push the panic button on their season, but they are, especially Freddie Kitchens, is doing nothing to prove that he's not in over his head. A draw play called on 4th and 9.
Matthew Berry, ESPN's fantasy football guru, pointed out on Twitter as a way to basically take himself down a notch or two, pointed out that Baker Mayfield has, I think, only two more fantasy points than Daniel Jones does this season. And Matthew Berry said, look, I had Baker Mayfield as a top five quarterback coming into the season. And you look at all of the ingredients are there. And they just... they haven't quite found it yet, and the Browns are sitting at 1-2 after an off season of tremendous hype for a fan base that is, they're a tortured bunch. They bought in coming into the year that this was the year, and there still very well could be a turnaround. We're only three games into the season, but the Browns have had two games on the national stage. They've had a Monday night game and a Sunday night game. And they've won one and they've lost one, and they haven't looked impressive in either of them.
No, the offense has not looked impressive. They were okay. They were decent against the Jets, but the Jets are the New York Jets at this point. They're in damage control right now because they have to go on the road to Baltimore, then on the road to San Francisco, at home against Seattle, on the road against New England the next 4 weeks.
There are two undefeated teams in the NFC North, as we've been reminded by a couple Lions fans on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. The Packers are 3-0, and the Lions are 2-0-1 after 3 weeks. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I am not surprised that Green Bay is 3-0. I'm totally surprised that Green Bay is 3-0 at this point, especially with a first-year head coach. But you said it earlier, Alex, defense, which has seemingly been an afterthought in Green Bay for a while now, was the point of focus for Brian Gutekunst in the draft and the offseason. They brought in Darnell Savage, Rashawn Gary. They made some very astute acquisitions from a free agent standpoint. That NFC North, to me, is even more intriguing now than it was 3 weeks ago at the beginning of the season. And then remember when everybody was worried about the Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott and keeping everybody happy coming into the season? The Cowboys have responded with a 3-0 start as well in a division that looks pretty much theirs at this point.
So I'm going to say with the Cowboys, have you seen who they've played so far?
It's not exactly murderer's row.
So they just beat the Dolphins after beating the Giants and the Redskins in consecutive weeks. I think it's hilarious with the Cowboys. You're either saying, okay, they're not that good, look at who they've played, or you're a Cowboys fan and you're telling us how they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. There seems to be no in-between with that team. But the Packers, I'm going to be the first one right now to apologize. I mean, I had several people on the text line, the Hurricane Stalker text line during the offseason, Green Bay Dustin, Badger Mike, saying, no, the defense is going to be better than it looks on paper. Mike Pettine, the job that he can do, generating pass rush with a bunch of different guys. They don't need a Khalil Mack. They don't need that marquee pass rusher to be successful. And they don't. They have a bunch of them. They have a bunch of guys that can get after the quarterback. They play. They're not exactly the most speedy sideline to sideline teams. Every once in a while, they'll get gashed by good running backs like Dalvin Cook. But they're going to be able to keep this team in every game, and that's not something that you're used to if you're a Packers fan.
319-366-1600, your thoughts and feelings on week 3 of the NFL, which is soon to be put in our rearview mirror tonight, courtesy of the Chicago Bears, who again are the heavy betting favorite heading into the game tonight in Landover, Maryland. 5.5 points at the moment at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside Casino. A good opportunity to remind you that Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, in conjunction with the Elite Sportsbook, brings you WagerWise every Wednesday evening here on KGYM at 6 o'clock. You can tune in to get insight and information on some of the week's biggest games, both in the college ranks as well as the NFL. That's WagerWise, presented by the Elite Sportsbook and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort, airing every Wednesday here on KGYM at 6 o'clock. Podcasts available online at KGYMradio.com. While you're there, you can vote in our poll question today. Do you believe the Iowa-Iowa State football series is in jeopardy? Yes or no? The poll question brought to you daily by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. 6:27, we'll step aside momentarily here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. When we return, Kyle's going to get you a third and final Big Board update, and then we will finish up strong with a look at the Big Ten this past week, including some really good audio from Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats. Pat doesn't quite seem to figure out how to describe in 2019 terms things like hashtags and email. I can't explain it any more than that. I'll let his own words speak for themselves when we return after this.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin & Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Come here. Get the ball. Good boy.
Give your pets the run of the house. Randy's Flooring has the largest selection of pet-friendly flooring in Eastern Iowa. Come see all of it. Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids. Local flooring experts by design.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Tune in to WagerWise Wednesdays at 6 during the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's everything you need to know about sports betting in Iowa. Presented by Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort.
6:30 on the dot. We welcome you back in a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, being presented in part by our good friends at Randy's Flooring. You can visit them here in Cedar Rapids or in Coralville on the Coralville Strip. Thank you to Randy's for being our presenting sponsor. Coming up on the program tomorrow, it's game week again in Iowa City. After a bye week, Kirk Ferentz set to meet with members of the media as the Hawkeyes get ready for Middle Tennessee State, an 11 o'clock kickoff Saturday morning. That means Before the Boom coming your way on our FM frequencies 107.5 and 106.3 beginning at 9 a.m. The Hawkeyes, a 24.5-point favorite over the Blue Raiders from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Kyle Mann, our producer, joining us in the studio three times a day on the show. That's once an hour for those of you who are bad at math like I am. He brings you up to speed on what's going on the sports scene across the state of Iowa and here locally in the corridor. It's a big board update presented by Alexander Lumber. You can check them out in Iowa City on 420th Street or the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
It was a game for the record books for Brock Purdy and the Cyclones on Saturday as they piled up over 700 yards of total offense in a 72-20 demolition of Louisiana Monroe. Purdy stole the show by being responsible for as many touchdowns as he had incompletions, going 21 for 27 for 435 yards and three touchdowns through the air, as well as 75 more yards and three more touchdowns on the ground. The team's 714 yards and Purdy's 510 individually are both school records, and he became the first player in Big 12 history with 400 yards passing, three passing touchdowns, and three rushing touchdowns, so he was named this week's Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week. All that being said, the Cyclones find themselves outside of this week's AP Top 25. Meanwhile, the Hawkeyes have moved up to number 14, and there's been a story that just won't go away since those two teams met a couple weekends ago, and Iowa President Bruce Harrell didn't do anything to help when he spoke with the Daily Iowan, suggesting that the Cy-Hawk series may be discontinued if measures can't be taken to ensure that whatever happened to the Iowa marching band doesn't happen again. He also likened the response to Iowa's handling of the situation to victim blaming. UNI had to fight for a close one hosting Idaho State over the weekend, winning 13-6. They trailed 6-3 at halftime and into the fourth, but then scored 10 unanswered to get the victory. They moved to 2-1 and traveled to Weber State this weekend. Tonight, after the show, we'll have John Walters hosting the Cyclone Sideline Show on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as David Montgomery and the Bears facing the Redskins on Monday Night Football on our North and South Gym FM frequencies.
6:33, we welcome you back in, and this is fascinating to me. We have been mentioning gambling a lot here since August 15th on the program. There's a wager out there. This is from one of the many Barstool Twitter accounts, and I bring that to the table knowing that a lot of people out there don't particularly cotton to anything Barstool-related. But they're my particular news source on this one. A bettor put down 89 cents on a 20-team parlay with a max payout of $500,000, basically. It's $499,888.80. 19 of the 20 plays have come home to roost. The last remaining game on the 20-team 89-cent parlay card, the Washington money line tonight, plus 170, meaning the Redskins have to win outright.
Oof. That's going to be so heartbreaking if that doesn't happen for him.
This is just, it's impressive. I'll read the games, the 19 games here. The Tennessee-Jacksonville under 39. Tulane over 31 points. That's Tulane, the Green Wave itself, scoring over. This is a really impressive mix. You've got the Thursday night under, Tulane scoring more than 31 points, Utah-USC over 52.5 points, Florida International-Louisiana Tech over 51.5 points, the under in the Air Force Boise game, Iowa State covering 18.5 against ULM, Ohio State minus 39 against Miami, Indiana minus 28, Louisiana Lafayette and Ohio over 67.5 points, Coastal Carolina minus 16.5 points, Michigan State minus 9.5. Everybody and their brother had Northwestern this past weekend. BC minus 8.5, Syracuse minus 4.5. The over 45 in Michigan, Wisconsin, California, Mississippi, over 41.5, Florida minus 14.5, Alabama minus 38.5, the LSU Vanderbilt over, which was 62.5 points, and Michigan, Morgan State plus 49.5.
Against Army, correct?
You hedge, right? You got to hedge in this particular instance and place a pretty sizable wager on the Bears to win the game outright, provided that you have the means to put money on the Bears money line to win a couple thousand bucks here. Otherwise, you're going to be kicking yourself, right? I mean, if the Redskins win, you turned 89 cents into $500,000. If you don't place some sort of wager on the Bears to win the game and the Bears win the game, you don't have anything to show for it other than the fact, I guess, you're only out the price of, does anything cost 89 cents? Even candy bars are over a dollar now. That's just impressive. 319-366-1600. Let's get to the weekend that was in the Big Ten. Michigan. Hawkeye fans are suddenly feeling a whole lot better about the trip to Ann Arbor in a couple weeks, and there's a great sense of trepidation about facing Wisconsin late in the season.
Michigan, pretender.
Michigan is safely a pretender at this point. And another team, I keep going back, the indignation Pat Fitzgerald had in his voice in Chicago in July at Big Ten Media Day, that nobody was talking about his Northwestern Wildcats, the team that represented the Big Ten West last season in Indianapolis. It turns out there was a reason nobody was talking about Northwestern.
Their offense.
They look pretty bad this year.
Look terrible.
That brings us to Pat Fitzgerald's weekly news conference today, in which he was asked a question about trying to get his offense going. And in typical Pat Fitzgerald fashion, he comes off a little bit brusque here, to say the least. He rubs some people the wrong way. If you don't like Pat Fitzgerald, this is going to back up everything that you don't like about Pat Fitzgerald. And then he sort of gets a little clunky here at the end with Twitter and email, and those are two completely different forms of communication. But here's a football coach sounding very much like a football coach.
Well, we just take 90 hours and play Wii and golf all week. I mean, what do you think? Yeah, I go into every game plan expecting it to work, to be quite honest with you. I understand there's 40,000 experts on Twitter that can call plays for me, so my email address is hashtag I don't care. Okay, so shoot that out.
Now, is that at northwestern.edu? Is that at Gmail?
Pat Fitzgerald. And is hashtag spelled out, or is it the
Pat Fitzgerald strikes me as the type of guy who's maybe still using AOL.
He tries to hit up recruits on Instant Messenger.
Hashtag oh, that's not I around don't anymore. Care at northwestern.edu.
Hashtag go Cats.
They didn't look too good against Michigan State, and that's a game that a lot of people looked, myself included, on the pick six presented by Emil's Hideaway when we made our selections on Friday, said, oh, this looks too easy. I'm going to take Northwestern in the points. Blah.
The hope was that Hunter Johnson would be the answer to their problems. Why haven't they been explosive offensively? Well, bringing in a big-arm quarterback who was the number one recruit in the country a couple of years ago, he's going to be the answer to the problems. He doesn't look very good. He doesn't look ready. And it's been a few years, and he just doesn't. You can see the ability. He has a pretty strong arm, and he's a big guy and can move a little bit. He's not putting up results. We should have seen there was a little bit of an issue when TJ Green, who was hurt, Trent Green's son, TJ Green was right there with him in the quarterback race. In fact, many people thought he was the starter before he got injured. Here's the thing with Pat Fitzgerald. He may expect his game plans to work, but nobody else does. I didn't expect them to put up any points in that game. And there were a couple of times where they had the ball on the 1 yard line and they ran three consecutive between the tackles runs and then an option play to the left and got stuffed on the goal line. You have to convert on those types of situations. They have a quarterback who doesn't look comfortable in an offensive line. They don't trust to block anybody. Other than that, they're in great shape right now. Oh, and receivers that can't really get separation down the field.
The only other Big Ten game from this past weekend's slate that I found interesting at all, and there were a number of Big Ten teams that were on a bye last week, Nebraska traveled to Champaign as a 2-touchdown favorite against Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini, and were on the verge of being embarrassed, and some would say even though they won the game 42-38, they were embarrassed in their showing at Illinois. What happens this week? The Huskers turn around, go back to Lincoln, and have College Game Day on the scene for Ohio State's arrival. Ohio State, a 17-point favorite at the moment against Nebraska. They could not hang on to the football against Illinois, and every time they lost the football, Illinois recovered. It was an absolute mess for the Huskers, and they still somehow managed with 15 points in the fourth quarter. And coming, they could have kicked a field goal to make it a 7-point game with about 2 minutes remaining, and the kicker hit the upright. And it seemed like the door was open for Illinois, and then you remember it was Illinois. And they were gassed, especially the defense and Adrian Martinez. We're talking about two Big Ten players as possible Heisman candidates, right, coming into the season, Jonathan Taylor and Adrian Martinez. One of them looked the part this past weekend, and the other one pretty much is not even in the discussion at this point.
No, I think Nebraska right now, at least they're winning the games that early on in the season, like last year, where they found every way to lose those games. I think they're going to get walloped by Ohio State. But can we all recognize what Jonathan Taylor is, and that's one of the greatest college football running backs ever? The numbers that he is going to put up by the time that he is done, they're historic.
I thought you were talking about just his numbers in the first quarter.
Well, yeah.
Against Michigan this past weekend. They got clowned. Michigan got clowned. And suddenly you've got a lot of upset Wolverine fans out there that are looking at Jim Harbaugh saying 0-7 on the road as an underdog. You can't win the games that you're not expected to win. And that's a problem at Michigan. Not only can he not figure out Ohio State, and again, this is supposed to be the year because Urban Meyer is on the sidelines. By the way, I hope Urban doesn't have designs on that USC gig, because Clay Helton keeps winning games, but this is supposed to be Michigan's year, and you just got pantsed nationally by Paul Christ, who makes Kirk Ferentz seem like the life of the party. Paul Christ has even less of an outgoing personality. He's your prototypical Big Ten West football coach, and he embarrassed Jim Harbaugh in Michigan.
I can't wait till Iowa plays Wisconsin so we can just play Paul Christ audio the entire show.
That'll be a very short show. You know what? I'm going to call in sick right now for that game, because I don't want to hear anything Paul Christ has to say, because he never says anything of interest. Michigan looked like Wisconsin last year, and Wisconsin in that game looked like everybody thought Wisconsin would look like a year ago.
Well, let me ask you this. What if Michigan has a season like Wisconsin had last year? What if they don't get up off the mat? They'll beat Rutgers. But we're talking losing to Iowa, losing to Penn State, losing to Michigan State and Ohio State, 7-5 record.
Urban Meyer
to Michigan.
I love chaos, and that would just be the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And boy, would it chap Jim Harbaugh. Not only to lose his job, but to be replaced by the guy that he couldn't beat. This is a swan song, I think, for Jim Harbaugh. I think if they have the type of mediocre season now that it looks like they very well could face, if he can't beat Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State, and he gets embarrassed again at the end of the year by Ohio State, then I think Michigan has a very uncomfortable conversation. I really do. Because the record shows Harbaugh cannot win the big games when Michigan's not favored. Can't do it. And not only that, they weren't competitive with Wisconsin.
No.
And remember, we have been subjected here in the West, the old little old Big Ten West. We got it at Media Day in Chicago again this year in July. Jimmy Franklin and the rest of the Big Ten East coaches guffawing about how superior the Big Ten East is to the Big Ten West. Well, show your work.
Well, think about how frustrated Wisconsin must be to hear those narratives. I'm not talking about last year, but they have been kind of thrown under that umbrella despite the fact that year in and year out they're at 10 or 11 wins. But oh, they're in the West, so it just doesn't carry the same weight. You don't think that every single time they play somebody from the West, they want to embarrass them like they did against Michigan this week? I think it is absolutely a chip on their shoulder every time that they play, because they think that they have enough. They have enough talent to pummel those teams. And when they get the chance, I can't wait for that game in Columbus on October 26th.
Now,
that should be fun.
Now, Ohio State travels to a Big Ten West team this weekend, and it's going to be the highlight of college game day.
Yeah.
And Ohio State's going to probably put its foot on Nebraska's throat.
They're
going to
run them out of the building. Nebraska's not ready.
Let's just enjoy this for what it is, for a tiny window here until Ohio State obliterates the Huskers this weekend, and then everybody is back on the Big Ten East is superior to the Big Ten West hype train. Let's enjoy the time between Michigan, Wisconsin, and the time between Nebraska and Ohio State. This is our moment. Let's soak it up. Big Ten West. Rah, rah, rah. And Ohio State will then take that mantle back next week. 319-366-1600. Ohio State, Nebraska, one of the six games we will be picking on Thursday with Scott and Mark as part of the Pick 6 presented by Emil's Hideaway. Somebody is going to win a $30 gift card to Emil's by selecting the panelist who had the best week picking games. This past week, it was yours truly. A mediocre 3-3 got the job done, now tied with Scott Unash for the season lead, 15-9. That's going to keep you ahead of the VIG. It's going to make you money. I'm not necessarily saying hop on board with my picks, but I do like Chicago on a 6-point teaser tonight with the under. Chicago teased to, at this point, after 5.5 point, as a getting half a point and under 46 points. That's my teaser, my Monday Night Football teaser. If you want to get on board, I'm going to give it to you free. 319-366-1600. I kid, of course, channeling my inner Lee Sterling. It is time for our final break. When we come back, we will put the finishing touches on a Monday program and let you know what's around the corner for Tuesday's show. Back after this.
For every step of achievement,
Christopher Michael Jones.
For every joy-filled laugh, for every dream becoming reality.
Welcome to retirement, honey.
For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust is here. We'll come alongside you for all life's milestones. Because, after all, you're our neighbor. We're more than just a financial institution, and we take our relationship with you seriously. That's why Two Rivers Bank is working on new products and services now that will make your life easier in the future. So, whether you're planning for college, starting a family, or recent empty nesters, Two Rivers Bank will be thinking about your needs before you even know you have them. For every moment that matters, Two Rivers Bank and Trust.
My neighborhood,
my bank.
Find out more at tworiversbank.com. Always gonna be the best day alive. Member FDIC.
Even the most talented players don't make a winning team without a great coach. I'm Lisa Nolan with RE/MAX Concepts. And as a lifelong Cyclone fan, I appreciate all the Iowa State coaches. As a realtor, I am your coach. I identify the strongest selling points for your home, I understand the details of this market, and I always make a clear plan for your success. Let's work together to buy or sell your home. You can contact me anytime at lisanolanrealtor.com. We'll make a great team.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. A cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to, and that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit, forhims.com/joy.
Welcome back in the final 60 seconds of a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. One more thank you to our friends at Randy's Flooring for continuing their Monday sponsorships of the three-hour program here on KGYM. You can check Randy's out online, randysflooring.com, or visit them at Cedar Rapids or Coralville. Steve Batterson of the Quad City Times set to join us on the program tomorrow, as we'll hear from Kirk Ferentz. And the Hawkeyes in Iowa City, they gear up for their final non-conference game of the season. Middle Tennessee State coming to town as a 24.5-point underdog. Like the Diamondbacks, plus 120 against the Cardinals at home tonight after the Cardinals sweep the Cubs, fly to the West Coast to take on, well, it's not really the West Coast. We'll talk about it all tomorrow. Another edition of the program, local program, gets underway at 3 o'clock. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class. Talk to you then.